Here we go, Keeve. Very exciting. Keeve, it will not be season 3, episode 7, but
okay,
we will be exploring a galaxy far, far away, Akiva. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking Star Wars.
Oh, Rob explains Star Wars. Are you explaining movies 1, 2, and 3 to me?
In terms of the what is known as the prequels, or we are just going to be talking about the original trilogy?
How about this? The movies from the 70s and 80s, or whenever they came out.
Technically, those are episodes.
All three, as opposed to just episode 1 or 4 or whatever it is.
We're not going to get into the prequels. This is going to be
That's not my question. I mean, you're doing the three films, not
three
one
films,
film.
Three films, right.
Okay.
Right. Okay. We're talking about the trilogy.
And you're also, I think part of the game is you are also going to make up a few things, and I'm going to try and catch what you're lying about.
Right. So I'll have a number of plot points in the films that did not actually happen in those films, and then we'll have some sort of a test at the end to see how many of those the five things that I said that were not real.
Now, will you have to like rewatch some of this? Like, are how many times have you seen these movies?
I don't think I'll need to rewatch it. I think that between Wikipedia and all the internet,
so you're
going to
wiki these movies. But how many times have you seen them? A lot, right?
You know, the actual movies themselves, I have not watched a million times. I used to have a roommate in college that would watch them incessantly. But you know that they're so between video games and pop culture and my kids watching Lego stuff. And it's like you know, it's very well laid out.
All right, awesome. I'm excited for Rob and Akiva. What's the episode? Rob explains Star Wars?
Yeah, Rob explains Star Wars to Akiva.
Rob and Akiva need a podcast, and they need your help. Can you make it onto the wheel? Rob and Akiva need a podcast. Yeah, they'll buy themselves your ideas. They'll talk about it till you've got it, you'll feel. Every weekend, better attend. You can guess what will be coming up next. Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
Akiva, yes.
Is that Star Trek music? Star Wars. Sorry, no. I'm already off base.
Yes. Okay. Episode number 15 of Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. Rob explains Star Wars to Akiva, and we are going to go through episodes 4, 5, and 6 of the Skywalker saga here today with a few pieces of alternative plot points in the mix for Akiva.
Do I get like a prize if I figure out what's fake and what's real?
I think so. We'll figure out some sort of some way to figure out what's the real tea and what is the fake stuff that's been put in there. Not unlike when Survivor did some sort of like a director's recut in 1997, where George Lucas went in and changed a bunch
Star
of
Wars,
things around.
You said Survivor. What's Survivor?
I'm sorry. My brain is fried. I think I podcast about 6.5 or 7 hours yesterday. So it was a busy day, but excited to change.
So they recut the show? Is that what you're saying? They recut the three movies together or something?
No, they didn't recut, but they like did like, different special effects and like put different characters in places where they weren't before. And so it's not unlike that. So, all right, Akiva.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been 4 weeks since I talked to you.
It does feel like a long time. What was our last episode? Do you remember? Because I don't remember.
Boy, I think it was
Kids
Peppa Shows
Pig?
Are Trash.
Okay, yeah. I will say, not only was the response on the internet strong to that, but my wife's friend came over to me today on the street, and she's like, I listened to that episode, and I didn't even know she like knew about our podcast, and I was on the floor laughing, and I even took notes, and she was going to like email me notes, because she also...
Yeah.
You know, a lot of our friends also have kids our kids' age, so they're also anti-Ryan and anti-Peppa and anti-PJ Masks. So I made her walk over to my wife at that point and said, like, all right, go tell Mara that you think I'm funny because she doesn't think I'm funny.
Yeah.
And she had already told her, but I made her tell her again.
Wow. Okay. Did Mara look at you differently then after a peer said that you were funny?
No, she just like probably looked at the girl and thought like, oh, she's dumb. I feel bad for her.
She's dumb.
Like, she lost respect for her friend, not gained respect for me.
Yeah, I have not gotten my wife to listen to that one, but I still need to. Like, I think she will enjoy that one as well. I felt like that the response was either, I had no idea these shows exist, I can't believe this is real, or I have kids and you guys are on point.
Yeah, there were not any Ryan defenders. I thought someone might say, like, you're too hard on this 8-year-old kid. Ryan had no defenders out there. Sorry, Ryan. I do think now he's a total paper tiger. Like, it's all, you know, gummed up views and no one actually likes him. Yeah. It's all charade.
Actually, Akiva, we have on the line, Ryan's dad is on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Ryan's dad, are you there?
Yeah, you know, I'm really mad at you guys. You know, all you do is complain about Ryan's toy review. You don't even talk about Ryan's family review. Whoa, it was good.
Ryan's dad, I have a question for you. How do you spend, like, whose money is it that you're spending to buy that gigantic house you guys are in? Because technically, isn't it your son's money? How are you spending, like, a 7-year-old's, at this point, he's hung up, right?
Listen, Akiva, did I come out here talking about the 32 Fans podcast? How you spent your money?
Do you think we could get, should we buy advertising on Ryan's Toy Review for the 32 Fans podcast?
Yeah.
Would that be a good bit?
Okay.
Got a lot of kids listening to Chester.
That would be great. Perfect.
What do you think an ad? What do you think, like, a built-in organic plug-in on Ryan?
Oh.
Even on the screen,
$200,000.
Like, yeah, I don't think we could afford that. I gotta speak to Chester, see if he could
sell your house, and then you can buy an ad on Ryan's Toy Review.
Yeah, I don't know what the ROI on getting a bunch of kids to listen to our non monetized podcast would be, but I'll think about it.
Okay, think about it. All right, Keeve, anything else you want to discuss before we get into talking about Star Wars today?
No, I'm very excited for Star Wars. I've been working very hard on an episode of this podcast that may never exist.
Mm-hmm.
The last week, I do feel like this is like becoming a full-time job. But all I have to say is, if you're like a tall guy and you live in Seattle, email me. And if you're a gay guy in San Francisco, email me. And if you live,
that's a good sound.
If you live, yeah. And if you live in New York and you're in your like late 20s, email me. If you're very tall and you live in Chicago and you're a man, email me. And DC, if you live in DC, email me. Other than that, I'm pretty much booked.
Okay. All right. So, Akiva, are you ready for us to transition to our feature presentation for today?
Yes. So when you say 4, 5, and 6,
Okay, let's get into that. All right. Let's get into our feature presentation. Okay. All right. Now here we are, Akiva.
Okay, so movies 4, 5, and 6, they came out when? In like 77, 79, and 81, something like that?
I think it's 77, 81, and 83, if I have to
say. Okay, it was about every 3 years back then.
It might be 80 for Empire Strikes Back. I will open up the Wikipedia and let you know. Yeah, but then the second trilogy kicks off in 1999, but is actually further back in the past, Akiva.
So the second trilogy is a prequel. That, I think, that's like one of the things I know.
Right.
If it's a prequel, then why? Oh, yeah, that's why it's 1, 2, 3. Even that really doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think that the idea was that, and it says episode 4 on the scroll at the start of the screen. I think it's sort of like that George Lucas wanted it to be like, you're coming into the middle of something. It's like, this has been going on. I think, don't know if he necessarily, I'm sure that there are Star Wars people that are really like well-versed in all of this that know, and like, oh no, he had everything, completely storyboarded of where it was going to go. But I think it was more of an idea that it was going to be just like, it's like the middle of, you're picking up a comic book in the middle of the run.
Can I ask you a question about this movie, the first movie we're about to talk about,
sure,
the original Star Wars movie? Do you think that this Star Wars movie, if we were to, let's say, poll our listeners, is this the most seen movie
of all time?
Like, of all time, at least amongst the RANAP listeners? And if not, what would be? Is the first Star Wars movie that, like,
Star Wars A New Hope, is there a movie that has been seen by more people? So let's assume, like, 99.2 2% of the audience has seen this movie. Is there a
way
movie?
Way too high. I don't think it's above, like, not, I don't think any movie's above 90%.
You don't think there's any movie that's above 90%?
Should I make a Twitter poll of this movie? Maybe I'll make a Twitter poll after this. But like, because here are the things I thought about today. So Star Wars 1, the original, The God, because nobody, like, a lot of people have seen Star Wars. Nobody's going to watch Star Wars 2.
I think I'm ready to lock in.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, but nobody's seen Star Wars 2 that hasn't seen Star Wars 1. Nobody's seen, like, the next one. Or very few people.
You wouldn't think so. You wouldn't think so. Okay.
So my other options were The Godfather, Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about Avatar because it's literally the most watched movie, but I think anybody who didn't see in the theater, like, never watched it. So I do think
Titanic
that slips down.
Is lower than you think. I believe because, you know, Titanic is all the way back in 1997.
Okay, so
point.
If we asked our listeners who were over 30, Titanic might win, though.
I agree. A lot of people in their 20s. Star Wars than Titanic. I think there's a lot of proud never Titanicers, more so than there are proud never Star Warsers like yourself.
Well, am I now? Am I still a never Star Warser after today?
Yeah, seen the movies.
Yeah. Well, this is as close as I'm getting. So the other movies I was thinking about were Anchorman. I feel like everyone's seen Anchorman.
I think
so
that's
Titanic,
probably lower than you think.
Look, really. And Lord of the Rings 1. That was high up there, too.
I think there's a lot of people that haven't watched the Lord of the Rings. I was going to give you my one that
okay,
I think
would
be Star Wars. I'm going to say The Wizard of Oz.
Ooh, that's good.
I think there's a couple of these kids'
seen
movies.
Because
like
it doesn't
Lion
matter when
King
you were born.
Or, yeah. you know, iconic Disney classic.
What's the most watched Pixar movie, actually? That's a good question. Like Toy Story 1?
Yeah, it's probably really high up there. Avatar, what about Avatar?
I just don't think. Have you ever seen Avatar? I've never seen it.
I saw it one time in the movies.
Could you tell me one thing about Avatar?
They're blue.
Okay, I'm saying, like, I feel like it just has not held up in the culture. Don't add us, Tito. I just feel like.
You're trolling.
If you made a reference outside of the fact that they're blue, if you were like a stand-up comedian, not one person in the room would get it. Like, it has no part of our culture, the movie Avatar, even though this is the number one movie of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, magical planet, blue people. Let's not get in the weeds on the Avatar stuff. You have not seen the Avatar movie, right?
No, I think I saw everything we talked about except Star Wars and Avatar.
Okay. All right. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give the plot points, basically like a, you know, longer synopsis of the film, you know, sort of, you know, major beats of the film. And there are a couple of wrinkles in here, things that did not actually transpire in these films. I will not highlight them when they come up, but I will tell Akiva the story. I will try to make the story as interesting as I can for Akiva, perhaps making him want to see these movies after. And then at the end, Akiva, maybe if you want to, maybe you should take notes as opposed to really drill down on something that you think is fake in the real time. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll take notes and I'll sort of tell you at the end of each movie what I thought was
right.
Fake.
And feel free to ask questions and we can follow up, but like you know, don't cross-examine me too hard in the telling of the story.
Okay. And is the goal for this for you to get me to watch the movies and then like one day, once upon a time, we do a podcast about the movies? Like, is that the goal?
Who knows? Who knows where it goes from here? But I will.
What if it becomes my thing? You know? What if it's like, what if I become like the biggest Star Wars fan on the planet?
Yeah.
I'm very nervous.
You know, you like a lot of different things. You have varied interests. Maybe this is going to be one of them.
What? How many movies are there that I'd have to catch up on if I was like super into it?
Movies,
after today?
Only like 9 or 10.
Okay. Okay. That's a lot.
It's a lot. I mean, 8 in the.
It's a weird thing
because
it has this
saga.
Obsessive stardom with very obsessive fandom, right? People who's like that's their, you know, they have Star Wars tattoos and that's their like personality.
Right.
They're like a Star Wars super fan. But there's very little content to show for it. Like, and most of those 10 movies, or 40% of them, have happened extremely recently, right?
The last couple, yeah. I do feel like that. I think it's flown a little too close to the twin sons of Tatooine in recent years, where I think that there was a lot of hoopla when it came back with the J.J. Abrams Force Awakens movie. I think they've got really, you know, one more big one in Episode 9. And I think it's sort of going to be at that point, I think it's not going to be as iconic or popular. It'll still be big, but I don't think it's going to be sort of like a Super Bowl big when a new movie comes out.
The one thing I was thinking, like, the reason why I'm not into it, it's not like I was like, oh, you nerds watching this when I was a kid. The first movies come out in the late 70s, early 80s. So too early for me, even too early for you also. You weren't watching these when they came out, even the third one, right?
No, I was watching them.
When you were like 5 years old, you were watching it?
I mean, the Return of the Jedi, like I remember, you know, when it came out. I mean, I was 6 years old, five or mm-hmm. 6 years old. So
you watched that with before the first two?
I had like toys. I don't remember seeing like the movie. I don't know like in what version, if it was like televised or if there was like, but there definitely were like action figures. And I think that maybe by way of like commercials and action figures, I was exposed to it.
You got the gist of the story. Okay.
Right. And so I remember like having like, you know, Burger King like glasses in my house and from like the giveaways and promotions. And so, you know, especially about the third film is really aimed towards, you know, kids.
Interesting. So then, after that happens, there's no movies for what, 16 years, right? Or something like
right.
that. And so but that was my childhood. Literally, you said it comes out in about 83, mm-hmm. the first one, right?
There were some made-for-TV movies with the mm-hmm. Ewoks and stuff like that. But no, they don't really do anything with the franchise from 83 to 99, other than
I'm not born when Return of the Jedi comes out. It was right before I was born.
Right.
And then by the time Phantom Menace, don't pretend like I'm looking on Wikipedia now. I don't know the names of them. By the time the Phantom Menace comes out, I'm already like, you know, deep into high school. So there just weren't a lot of Star Wars fans because it was a little too late to get into it.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a cool high school thing where everyone's like super concerned with other people are talking about.
You're sort of an island where you're sort of you were too young to get hit by the first wave and then a little too old to get picked up by the second wave.
I think the ideal time to get into it initially is probably when you're like 12 years old or 10 mm-hmm. years old or something.
Right.
The time the next one comes out, I'm already like studying abroad, and the next one I'm in college and married. Like I just totally missed it.
Right. You know, they're back by, you know, 97 is when they come back out with the, you know, 20 year anniversary editions. And then there's a lot of hype coming up for 99's The Phantom Menace. So they pick up the younger millennials, like in the second wave, who may not have been exposed to the first wave, but you were just a little too old to get picked up by that second wave of Star Wars.
All right. So tell me about Star Wars.
All right. We begin, Akiva, with a galaxy in the midst of a civil war. There are two factions, Akiva. There is the Empire, and there's a bunch of ragtag rebels, and they are looking to resist the Empire.
Who are the good guys? Empires or the rebels?
The Empire. It's all about trying to stomp out these. We are following the story of the rebels who are trying to disrupt.
And are they called the rebels?
They call themselves the rebels. Yeah.
Okay. Fine.
Okay. The rebel spies have stolen plans to a galactic Death Star. Now, a Death Star is basically like a space station, almost as big as a moon, with a laser beam that could blow up a whole planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so once the Empire has this fully functional Death Star, then they will just be able to go to any planet where rebels are, blow up the whole planet. They'll be able to go anywhere where there's anybody who's giving them a problem, say, well we're just going to come blow up your planet. So it's really going to be like, you know, game over once the Empire gets that Death Star turned on.
Is Earth ever mentioned in Star Wars?
No, because the Star Wars films open with a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So this actually all happened in the past.
The past. Okay.
In a completely different galaxy.
Oh, so Earth's not in the same galaxy.
No.
I got it.
No. No mention of Earth.
But they speak English.
They do speak English, and they also speak a lot of different languages, but you just got to go with it. It's just like one of those movie things.
Okay.
All right. So plans, the blueprints basically to the Death Star have been stolen by the rebels. This will be explored in great detail in the film Rogue One in 2016, I think. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different ball game. That's like when this comes up in episode 47
of okay, Robin. We're doing Rogue One in 47. Okay. Yeah.
When it's back on the wheel for the third time.
Okay.
Okay. So the plans are being run to the rebel base by a woman named Princess Leia. She's one of the leaders of the rebellion. And she has.
Can you, if there's a major character, can you tell me who plays
Carrie
that person
Fisher.
Also?
Carrie Fisher.
Okay.
That
I know.
Princess,
yes.
Is Princess Leia. Okay.
Okay.
And she is on board this ship and they have the plans to the rebel base, but they are boarded by the Imperial Star Destroyer under the command of Darth Vader. Now, you know who Darth Vader is, right?
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
Yes.
And then there's a big spoiler at the end of either movie 1 or 3.
Yes, well, we'll get there.
We'll get there. Okay, I don't want to spoil it. Okay.
So he comes on board the ship. He wants the plans. Where are the blueprints? He needs them. Really, in the Star Wars universe, there's not really any, like, too much, like, email, or we can upload the file. Like, it'd be like if, you know, it's like a disc. It's 1977. They don't really have it where, you know, it's like, okay, if you had, like, the plans to some secret, like, NASA project, and it's, like, it would be like then if they came, like, hey, where's that CD? Where's that CD with the plans? Like, there's no, like, we uploaded it to, you know, the internet. It's on, my heart, whatever. You know, it's, this is, the plans here are a very, like, a tactile thing.
Okay.
Okay.
It's also in the past, so I don't know how good the technology is supposed to be.
Yeah, the computers are not really, I mean, there's robots, but it seems like that the computers, like, all the displays and everything, they're not that great. So he wants the plans. And so Princess Leia, before being captured by Darth Vader, she ends up loading the plans into a little droid, looks like a garbage can, named R2-D2.
Looks like a garbage can.
Yeah, do you have any mental image of what R2-D2 looks like?
I have a general image of like what some of them, like Chewbacca, he hasn't come up yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he is. R2-D2 is like a robot, I think. Yeah, you're right. He does look like, he's silver and he looks garbage canny, but he's got lights on him, right?
Yes. Okay. And so Princess Leia puts the plans into R2-D2 and then she records a message. She says, basically, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. She wants it. So she's looking for a person named Obi-Wan Kenobi to help her.
Mm-hmm.
R2-D2 has a friend, big gold robot named C-3PO. He's kind of neurotic. He's like a neurotic robot. He's always worried that they're going to die. It's
like, are there famous people who do the voices?
Are there famous? No. The only famous person at the time is the person that plays Obi-Wan Kenobi, who was played by an actor named Sir Alec Guinness. But everybody else is unknown.
Yeah, but some of them are known now. I was just talking about Harrison Ford,
Han Solo. There are people that are.
So there's only one star. That's interesting. There's only one star in the original Star Wars.
Right. There were a bunch of unknowns.
So the star does not speak about it's not referring to the actors in the film. It would be the galaxy.
It's not like a Battle of the Network Stars. They weren't.
Ironically, Alec Guinness, I mean, his sort of curating is through the trash, basically. Carrie Fisher, she's no longer with us. She was way more famous. Obviously, Harrison Ford is more famous. Who's Luke Skywalker?
Mark Hamill.
Even he's more famous. He tweets too much also, Mark Hamill.
Should we
slow down, Mark
do a
Hamill.
Mark Hamill, your tweets are trash? I don't think his tweets are trash.
It's not that they're trash.
I mean, in fairness, Sir Alec Guinness died in 1996. So, I mean,
I guess that did definitely hurt his, like, social media rating. No question.
Yes.
R.A.P. Sir Alec.
Yes, which the star rating refers to.
Can that be a fake fact? Like, are you lying about his death? Do I have to double check you on that?
No, I'll only lie about the plot points. Okay.
Okay, not about the actors living or dying. Got
it. C-3PO, do you know what he looks like?
No. Can I Google him?
Yeah, he is the gold robot. There's a tall gold robot and the little short, like, trash can on wheels. That's R2-D2.
I have no familiarity with this guy.
Okay. C-3PO.
And like, I knew what – see, I'm looking at R2-D2, and, like, that guy is famous.
Yes.
C-3PO, I have no – I'm nervous for this guy, like, if he's going to make it, because I feel like if he's in all 9 movies, I would probably know who he was.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm nervous for you.
C-3PO, again,
when does BB-8 come out?
He's not going to be – we're not going to talk about him today.
Okay, fine.
Okay. C-3PO, he is kind of neurotic. He's always worried that they're gonna die. He's a protocol droid. He speaks a bunch of different languages. R2-D2 only speaks in like beeps and boops. He only makes noises. C-3PO can understand him. Luke Skywalker can also understand him somehow, but I don't really know how. And R2-D2 is very brave, though. He's tiny and brave, and then C-3PO is, you know, kind of a wuss.
How do they travel? How does R2-D2, fly?
He has wheels. He is able to fly with rockets in the prequel movies, but we're not going to explore that here today. Either.
Okay, fine. Okay. Got it.
All right. So R2-D2 is, now he has the plans. Princess Leia gave him, like, hey, you get out of here. Get this plan off to Obi-Wan Kenobi. And then him and C-3PO get into an escape hatch, and somehow they are able to escape the ship. And then the Empire, they see like a little escape hatch come out. Like, no life signs on there. Just let it go. And instead of just like, should we check it out? No, don't bother. And then it lands on the planet below, a planet named Tatooine, which is like a desert planet that has two suns. S-U-N-S.
Two suns.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a binary star
system. You're not lying about Tatooine. That I've heard about.
Okay. So you've heard about Tatooine, but
isn't it a Blink 182 song, Princess Leia? Something Tatooine. That's a Blink 182 song.
You're asking the wrong person.
That's how I know it. Okay. Not a big Blink. Not a Blink head.
Yeah. You can talk about Blink 182 D2, but no. So
is that a Blink 182 cover band that only plays Star Wars theme music? Because I feel like they would probably do okay.
Yeah.
Like, that band could definitely have a career.
Okay, so we're through one paragraph of my 4 pages of notes here. So let's see if we can.
I'm sorry for asking too many questions. Okay. A lot of horny people out there. I Googled Princess Leia because I was going to Google the lyrics, like what song that is.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that comes up is Princess Leia Bikini.
Yeah.
A lot of horny
Googlers. We'll get there. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a big plot point.
Yes. Okay. So R2-D2 and C-3PO, and they like bicker with each other. This sort of like comic relief, and they fight with each other. They end up going in separate ways, but they end up getting picked up by some junk collecting little guys that don't really talk. There's like a race of people that live in the desert, little short people that are, they drive around and like buy and sell robots. It's like a Craigslist of robots. These guys. Okay.
Okay.
And so they pick up and they have like little swap meets where they sell their off the truck robots to people. And we meet a character named Luke Skywalker, and Luke Skywalker, he is off to, you know, help his uncle pick up some new robots for, they have like a moisture farm.
A moisture farm?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a desert. So they have to, they're farming for moisture.
I'm flagging that, but keep going.
Okay. All right. So Luke Skywalker and his uncle, they buy these two droids, R2-D2 and C-3PO. They went from, they were with the rebellion, then they got picked up by the junk collectors, and now they're being sold at the robots swap meet. And now Luke Skywalker, him and his uncle, they needed robots, and they end up buying these two robots, and they end up bringing them back to the house. Luke Skywalker, kind of like a, you know, an angsty teen, he wants to hang out with his friends. His uncle tells him, like, nope, you got to do your chores. Go clean my new robots. And so he's cleaning the robots and complaining about them. And then he ends up triggering the message from R2-D2. And it's the message that Princess Leia recorded. And it says, you know, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. And so they said, wait, hold on. The only, Kenobi I know is the, you know, homeless hermit guy that lives out in the desert. So that's weird. Okay, I guess.
Can I say, my whole life I thought it was Obi-Wan Kenobi, but you keep calling him Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yeah, it's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you excited for Bobblehead Day at Citi Field this year, that they're having Obi-Wan Kenobi with Robinson Cano?
Are they really doing that, or is that alternative news also?
You can flag it if you want.
All right, no, that's not part of the plot, so it can't be a lie. Listen, if I end up in Citi Field that day, you can have my
Robinson Cano with a lightsaber.
The my dad brought, the Jets had a green, what's the green monster's name? The Hulk?
Yes.
They had like a Hulk bobblehead day or something.
Okay.
And so my dad's like, hey, do you guys want it? Yeah, I'm saying, like, I said, I'll give it to my son. But it's just the Hulk. He's not even wearing a Jets uniform. Like, I don't know why they wasted anybody's time with this bobble.
It could be a Marvel tie-in.
It was like really junky, though. I was very unimpressed. Okay. I mean, it goes along with the whole Jets franchise and how bad they are.
Okay. So R2-D2, he's a man on a mission. He's a robot on a mission. And he heard about Obi-Wan Kenobi, and he sneaks out in the middle of the night and is going to go off to go find Obi-Wan Kenobi. And Luke Skywalker can't find where R2-D2 went. And now he's like, oh, my uncle's going to kill me. So he ends up going off to go look for R2-D2 out in the desert, who has gone off to go find Obi-Wan Kenobi and is attacked by some indigenous peoples of the desert, the Tusken Raiders.
Tusken Raiders, okay.
Yes. And so he is saved then by Obi-Wan Kenobi, who is able to, he kills a bunch of them with a lightsaber, and then brings him into his little shack.
How many people die, do you think, in like the average Star Wars movie?
I don't know. If I had to guess on screen deaths in the Star Wars movies, I'd guess in these ones, I'd say 100 each.
Okay. That's a lot. Well,
we'll get to it, but you know, then there's actually, you know, I talked about the Death Star that blows up a planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to blow up a planet at one point, you know. So,
okay, fair enough. That could be many.
On screen murders, I'd say around 100.
Murders. Well, is it murder if it's war? That's a whole nother podcast.
That's a whole different podcast. Put it on the wheel for next week.
Okay. Is it murder if it's war? Please put that in there. Yeah. Let's put that in the waiting room and forget about it.
Let's get into the philosophy of war. We'll have that on the wheel.
Who would be a good guess for is it murder?
Chidi,
if it's war?
I think.
Oh, yeah. Chidi. That's good. Okay. That's good. Why, he hates us. He did not get put in the fake Survivor season where he was eligible for. Not a big fan of us.
Okay. So R2-D2, he plays the message, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. And so that Obi-Wan Kenobi is now aware of the plight of Princess Leia. And he ends up telling Luke Skywalker a little bit of backstory that Obi-Wan Kenobi actually knew Luke Skywalker's dad. They fought together in something called the Clone Wars, but on very sad story that the evil Darth Vader killed Luke Skywalker's father. So it's kind of a, you know, good news, I knew your dad, bad news, that he was murdered by a guy named Darth Vader. But here's his lightsaber. He wanted you to have this one day.
Okay.
Okay.
And what was the dad's name again?
Anakin Skywalker.
Anakin. Okay.
Anakin Skywalker. Okay.
Mm.
So they are going to go off on a mission. They need to go find somebody that can take them on a ship to go and get these plans to people on Alderaan. Now, they go back home, and Luke Skywalker sees that his aunt and uncle have been brutally murdered, that somebody had come looking for these robots, and they killed his aunt and uncle. So there's nothing left for him on Tatooine.
I mean, do you see them dead?
You see them burned. Yeah, they got shot.
And my parents didn't let me watch this movie. A lot of people are dying.
So, yeah. All right. Aunt and uncle off the board. They're dead. All right. So now Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi are going to head into the Mos Eisley spaceport. And this is a place where where all the degenerates hang out in this town. Space degenerates.
I love the idea of space degenerates. Who's like the most famous of these degenerates?
Okay. Well, we're going to see Obi-Wan Kenobi and Luke Skywalker are going to head into a bar where they're going to be looking for somebody to fly them to go to Alderaan. And they end up meeting
And they don't have a spaceship. They need like a pilot.
They don't have a spaceship. They need somebody They basically, it's like they need an Uber or a taxi. And so they go to like where the taxis, it's like, you know, if you get off the Long Island Railroad somewhere and then you need to get to where you need to go, you know, you go find a taxi line.
Oh, you don't live near the railroad?
I don't know. It's not like that.
I got it.
So they're looking for somebody to fly them on a spaceship so they can go to the planet. And they don't just need anybody. They can't just get on a transport because the Empire is looking for them. They're looking for these droids. And because they know that the droids have the plans of the Death Star. So this is a, you know, big, high priority for the Empire to track down these droids. So they got a little heat on them. So they need somebody who can get them and the droids to where they need to go and, you know, be able to potentially get away from any sort of, you know, Empire guys that are trying to chase them.
Okay.
So they meet a smuggler named Han Solo and his co-pilot Chewbacca, who is a Wookiee. So you got Han Solo, played by Harrison Ford, and Chewbacca.
Do we know who plays Chewbacca?
Yes, we do know who plays...
not somebody famous. It was not famous.
He's not, then, that his name is
don't care about famous
Peter
people.
Mayhew. And
oh, I've heard of him.
I have because
he was in the news at one point.
Yes.
Where, like, people were mean to him.
Well, he played Chewbacca for a bunch of... And then he got too old, so he doesn't play Chewbacca anymore. Okay. And so they are going to then... Han Solo and Chewbacca are going to fly them on the ship called the Millennium Falcon.
That I've heard of.
Okay. All right. So... everybody's going to pile on board. They get some heat. The Imperial stormtroopers, they're all in white. They all look the same. They wear, like, you know, white armor all over themselves. And they're trying to chase them. But Han Solo is able to get them out of the Mos Eisley spaceport. And they set course for Alderaan. Got to get the plans to the rebels.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the ship, Han Solo... starts.
Is Alderaan sandy?
No, it's not sandy Alderaan.
Okay, fine.
On the Millennium Falcon, Han Solo shares his backstory about how he was an orphan and was raised by smugglers. This will be the plot of one of the recent films, 2018's Solo.
Got it.
He was found as a baby and he was abandoned with only a necklace that nobody is able to read, not even Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, interesting.
The group discovers that Alderaan has been destroyed. We see a scene where they bring Leia to the planet Alderaan. They say, okay, Leia, tell us where the plans are or we're going to blow up this planet. She's like, nope. And so, all right, blow up the planet. And they blow up a whole planet with the Death Star.
Interesting. Is Leia the only, like, major female character in this movie?
Yes. I don't think that's true. Okay. We'll address that in, Natalie Portman will come on in the prequels, and then we'll have a more of a female protagonist.
Natalie Portmanovich.
Yeah, the later films. But, yeah, we don't do a great job with getting women involved in the Star Wars.
Well, yeah,
saga.
It's not your job. You're saying we, but I feel like you had very little to do with who, you know, when you were 5 years old, of who was in this major movie.
Almost no job. I was not even consulted. I would have said, guys, what are you doing?
You were woke as hell when you were five. Everyone knows that. That's true.
Okay. All right. Mm. So the Millennium Falcon goes, they show up where Alderaan is supposed to be, but they just find a bunch of debris. Like, what is this? So are we in the wrong place? What's happening? Instead, they see a moon where it's not supposed to be. They realize that's no moon. That's a space station. That's the Death Star, and they get sucked in by the tractor beam to the Death Star. So now we have our heroes. They get captured, or they're going to be captured and boarded on the Death Star.
So their spaceship is on another spaceship?
Yes. So the Death Star is so huge, it's like a moon. They're able to pull the Millennium Falcon in to the Death Star with their tractor beam. And then they are basically...
But no damage to the Millennium Falcon?
No damage. No damage. They don't shoot them out of the sky. Here's a ship, let's go, and now let's board the ship, and then we'll interrogate whoever's there. So Darth Vader sends a bunch of his stormtroopers onto the ship, and so what Luke Skywalker and Han Solo do is they hide, and then when the guys are looking around, they beat them up and take their clothes.
Oh, so that's like a thing that's in a lot of movies, but that probably started here?
Maybe.
They'll, like, beat the guy up and take his clothes.
Yeah, they beat the guys up and they take their clothes. And then they dress up like they are part of the Imperial Stormtrooper Army. And then they pretend that Chewbacca is their prisoner.
All right, yikes. Okay.
And they need to go and look around because the princess must be on this Death Star. They're going to go ahead and they're going to find Princess Leia, who must be here. Meanwhile, Obi-Wan Kenobi is going to go. He's off on a mission of his own. He senses. Because they have the Force. Do you know anything about the Force?
Yeah, the Force is with you.
The Force is with you. The Force is a little bit like a sixth sense where you can, and they're going to have a more scientific explanation, but it's kind of like the religion of the Jedi fighters where,
okay, I'm with you.
You can do a lot of cool things with the Force. With the Force, you can manipulate objects from across the room. Like you can just with your mind, you know, pick up a coffee cup and throw it across the room. Some telekinesis, I think that's called. Then you can also like hypnotize people where there's one point where the stormtroopers want to take the droids away from Obi-Wan Kenobi. And he just waves his hand and says, these are not the droids you're looking for. And the guy's like, these are not the droids I'm looking for. Like, okay, you go, just go have a nice day.
That's a famous line too, right?
Yes, that's a famous line. So you can do things with the Force and you can, manipulate objects and, you know, you can also do mind tricks on people. There's also the dark side of the Force where the people that are evil, and that's even more powerful. You could do more stuff. You could choke people with the dark side of the Force. It's even more powerful.
Okay. So you could actually kill people with the Force.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you're on the dark side, sure. Yeah. That's like nothing. Just kill people like that.
Interesting.
And so Obi-Wan Kenobi, I think he senses Darth Vader is around. So he's going to go off on his own, look around for Darth Vader and see what's up on this Death
Star.
Go
off, King.
Mm-hmm. His own mission. He's going to break off on his own. Okay, so we see that Luke and Han, they end up going around. They get separated from the droids, and they end up finding Princess Leia, and they free her, and then they are trying to get back to the Millennium Falcon. They get a couple of misadventures along the way. They get caught in the garbage dump and they are swimming around in raw sewage.
Ooh, some real slapstick here.
Yes. They're in some sort of trash compactor, raw sewage container, and then the walls of the trash compactor are going to smush them, and they ultimately end up needing the droids to turn off the garbage disposal that they're in.
The droid, okay.
Okay.
Sounds a lot like the end of Toy Story 3.
A little bit. That was more like they were going towards an incinerator.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, that was very sad. That would have been really depressed if all those.
This was just they were just going to get smushed. They weren't going to get burned here.
Would they have died?
They would have died. Yeah. I mean, actually.
Okay. So
yeah.
They would have been smushed to death.
They would have been smushed to death. I would say that probably the battle between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker that happens in episode 3 is a little bit more like the ending of Toy Story 3, but let's not digress too far.
Okay. Fine.
Okay. So everybody ends up starting to head back to where the ship is. Leia and Luke, they have to swing across on a rope to get across. Luke mm-hmm. is falling for Princess Leia. They even have a little smooch before they end up swinging across like a big pit. There's a lot, for a spaceship. The Death Star is really designed with, there's just a lot of places that you could just have one misstep and just fall to your death. Like there's not a lot of railings on the Death
Star. Sounds like a nightmare. It doesn't sound like a place we would enjoy.
It doesn't. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't really have any comparison to it. It's like if you were in some big skyscraper and there were just all these, stairwells and everything where there was just no railings whatsoever. And you could just fall to your death in a million different places.
Okay. Sounds like a nightmare.
It's also a ship. You would think that they would hit some turbulence here and there, but maybe they didn't build the railings yet. This is they just turned the Death Star on.
Okay.
So maybe there's still some more work that needs to be done. Anyway, so we see our heroes. We get to the Millennium Falcon. And so as we're piling into the Millennium Falcon to get the hell out of there, we see Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader are in a lightsaber duel. They're fighting with their lightsabers.
Okay.
And
I bet on who wins.
Yes, go ahead.
I think Obi wins this one.
Obi-Wan Kenobi says to Darth Vader, if you strike me down, I'll become even more powerful. And Darth Vader doesn't even care. And he goes and he swings his lightsaber and Obi-Wan Kenobi just vanishes. He just disappears. His cloak falls to the floor. Luke Skywalker is like, no. And then like, oh, wait, there they are right there. And then, the bad guys start shooting at them. They get out of there real quick.
Okay.
After that.
Good move.
So this, they're fighting, they're chasing them, but they get away. They go into light speed and they get to another rebel base, which is on a planet called Yavin 4. And they say, hey, look, here are the plans to blow up the Death Star. All you need to do is there's like one exhaust port. There's a fatal flaw in the Death Star that if you just shoot a torpedo into, it'd be like you have like this amazing tank. But if somebody, was able to shoot a rocket right into your exhaust pipe, then it'll blow up the whole thing.
This reminds me of Independence Day. The movie, right? That's how they blow up the alien spaceship.
Is that what they do? I feel like a guy like flies like...
Will Smith, and the President of the United States, Jeff Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum's not the president. He's not the president. Paxton. Paxton's the president.
I think it's Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman. I always mix up Paxton and Pullman. I mean, come on. Those guys are ridiculous. Bill Pullman is the president. Gives a great speech. Will Smith, flies into the alien spaceship and blows it up.
Are you giving me... I think Randy Quaid does that.
Well, Randy Quaid... Will Smith is never on the spaceship. Oh, is it like a suicide mission? Is that what Randy Quaid...
Randy Quaid's like the alcoholic who goes on the suicide mission to save everybody. Will Smith lives to the end of the movie.
No, Will Smith obviously lives.
He doesn't go on a kamikaze mission. And Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum upload a virus.
I think he flies into the spaceship.
They fly into the spaceship and they upload a virus to the alien computer system.
And then nuke it.
I don't think there's a nuke. I don't know.
I'm on Wikipedia and it says they nuke it.
They drop a nuke in there. I don't know.
Yeah. But listen, we already know if it's war, then it's okay.
then it's okay. If it's, it's our Independence Day. Please, we have to get through this. Don't bring Independence Day
next time. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. So they have the plans for the Death Star, but they need more pilots, and they recruit Luke Skywalker to be one of the pilots there. So he's going to go on this mission to go with the other Rebel pilots, and then... he is going to then be able to shoot this torpedo into this, one in a million shot. But because he's able to use the Force, the ghost of Obi-Wan Kenobi tells him, use the Force, Luke. And he turns all of his instruments off. He turns off everything. Mm-hmm. And then he just like feels it and then fires, blows up the whole Death Star.
Is that the end of movie one?
That's and then Han Solo and Chewbacca. And I don't really know, exactly what Chewbacca did. I feel like the other guys did more, but Luke.
Is he like one of those guys? He's in the group project. He didn't do anything, but he
didn't
still
do
gets
as
the same
much.
Grade.
I mean, he
takes the credit.
He was there the whole time. Chewbacca, Luke, and Han Solo, they get awards for their heroism. And that is the end of episode 4.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me tell you the things I think were fake.
Okay.
Okay. I got 4 things written down.
Just give us a number of things. Let's do it all at the end.
Okay? Fine. That's movie one.
Because then I feel like if they come up again, if there are things that you feel like are fake, they're in the other movies.
Oh, so you might have a whole long running thread of just complete nonsense.
That might be the plot of the 3 movies.
Okay, fine. Okay, so movie two. What's the movie two called?
Episode 5 is called The Empire Strikes Back. So the Empire was down after the first movie. Their Death Star got blown up, but Darth Vader didn't die. Darth Vader didn't die. He was on one of the ships. He was chasing the rebels. And so he made it out alive after that. And so now the Empire is ready to strike back at the rebels. And they are looking for them everywhere. They said there must be a rebel base around here somewhere because the rebels... they are hiding out. They're planning something else. They have a little momentum right now. But if we go and we smoke them out of that rebel base, we'll be able to, get things back to normal. And because we look bad right now, people are talking about the rebels. They're up and coming. And the Empire is not as good as it used to be. So we need to stomp out the rebellion. That's what they're thinking. And so they're sending like these probe droids everywhere, like these drones, like they're going to every planet looking for rebels. Okay. And they end up sending one of these drones to a planet called Hoth. Very cold there. Ice planet, Hoth.
Okay, this is real. I know Hoth is real. I have heard of it.
Okay. All right. So on the ice planet, the rebels are set up. They've got like sort of like they're hiding out in like icy mountains. And so they go out on missions and they ride these things called Tauntauns. And Luke Skywalker ends up one day, he ends up like getting like an abominable snowman gets him. And
no, there's no abominable snowman. Stop it.
Okay. Well, an abominable snowman gets Luke Skywalker and knocks him down. And then he hangs him up in his house, the abominable snowman. So then he's going to eat Luke Skywalker.
Does he have a name, this abominable snowman?
He's an unnamed abominable snowman.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. And so yes, he's going to eat Luke Skywalker, but not before he hangs him upside down. I guess that wants to maybe make the blood run to his head. And Luke Skywalker wakes up and he sees, oh my God, I'm hanging upside down in the house of an abominable snowman.
Truly the worst nightmare you could have.
Right.
Snowman's house
right.
upside
you're
down.
You're hanging out. You get like, you know, sideswiped by an abominable snowman. You pass out, you wake up, you're upside down in the abominable snowman's house. And so Luke Skywalker doesn't know what to do, but the ghost of Obi-Wan Kenobi tells him, like, hey, don't forget, use the Force. And so Luke Skywalker is able to get his lightsaber from across the room, which the abominable snowman probably should have put someplace better, safe, and like out of, more than, 6 feet away. And he ends up getting the lightsaber. And then he ends up cutting himself down and he kills the abominable snowman. And then eventually he gets rescued by Han Solo.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But it's too late. The drones, the probe droids have spotted the rebels and the Imperial fleet comes down and they basically start blowing up Hoth. And now again, they can't blow up the planet. They got to go down on foot but they're coming for them. And then so the rebels scatter and Luke Skywalker is going to go off on his own thing. We're going to see Han Solo and Princess Leia. They are going to go off on a mission with Chewbacca and R2-D2 and C-3PO. And they're trying to get out of there also. And they just got to hide from the Imperial forces. They want the princess and they're going to try to hide out. They're trying to just be on the run.
Okay. I'm on board.
Okay. So they hide in an asteroid field, and during the time that they're in the asteroid field, Han and Leia start to grow closer. Amidst tension, they briefly kiss. Okay?
Han and Leia. Didn't they smooch last episode also?
No, that was Luke. That was Luke. So there's like a little bit of a love triangle.
Okay.
Okay? But Princess Leia says that they don't have any future together. Because she is a princess, she can only marry a prince. And that is not what Han Solo is. He's a smuggler.
Is Luke a prince?
Luke is not a prince.
Okay. And he's a smuggler. So he's like way lower down on the totem pole.
Yeah, he's a, you know, a scumbag, Han Solo. He hangs out. He's a, you know, smuggler. So okay. Darth Vader, he is looking for the rebels. He needs to find them. So he brings in a team of bounty hunters. He's like, hey, I need to find me these guys. We'll give you whatever you want. Go find them. So he sends all of the bounty hunters in the galaxy out to go look for the Star Wars crew.
Okay. And at this point, they're like a crew. They're like a known crew.
Yeah. They're well known now. Princess Leia, she's like, you know, most wanted person, Han Solo.
Is there TV in Star Wars?
They have like holographic chess.
Okay, but they don't watch TV or anything.
No, they send a lot of hologram messages around, but there's no TV.
The technology is weird. Like some technology is like better than we have now, but some is way behind, it seems like.
Yeah, there's no real mention in the first three movies of what people do for fun. That's really, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah. In the prequels, it looks like there's like busy cities and stuff like that, and there's like plays that people go to.
But there is drinking, right? There's like bars and stuff like
that. Yeah, that was where they found Han Solo in sort of like the dive bar of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Luke Skywalker, that he is going to go get more Jedi training. Obi-Wan Kenobi is not in the picture anymore. And so Obi-Wan Kenobi, when Luke Skywalker was hanging upside down, told him, go see Master Yoda. Master Yoda He knows everything mm-hmm. about being a Jedi. You work with him, and he is going to be your new mentor, and he will teach you everything about how to use the Force. And so he's looking, he goes there looking for some guy who is like, you know, this strapping Jedi master who is going to teach him everything, is going to be his new idol. Instead, he finds a little green Muppet with big ears, and his name is Yoda.
Okay. I never thought of Yoda as a Muppet, but fine. That I know.
He definitely is a Muppet.
Okay. Yoda the Muppet.
And Luke Skywalker is like, oh, I thought you were going to be this awesome guy. You're just like this little green Muppet. And Yoda, the lesson that Yoda is going to teach him is that, you know, don't be deceived by looks. You know, you think I'm small. You think I'm nothing, but I'm a mighty Jedi master. And he teaches him all about the Force. So he's going to go into, so, you know, training montage with Luke Skywalker.
Okay. Oh, so it's like a very early 80s.
Like, no, we don't. Like, I mean, it's not quite Rocky style, but you're going to get a lot of training going on with Yoda. And Yoda's going to give the backstory to Luke about the Jedi and about how the Jedi used to be everywhere. They used to be very common. Now there's no Jedi, but it used to be that there were Jedi everywhere. It was not uncommon to have the Jedi all over the place. And that was when, and we'll see this in the first couple of movies. But when the Jedi were, you know, prolific, Yoda was all powerful. And Yoda really gets a lot of power from the good side of the Force. But now all the Jedi are gone and the dark side has grown. And that's why Yoda is so weak. And Yoda might die because the dark side has gotten too powerful. And so now he's old and feeble and weak and he could die. So
all right. I hope Yoda doesn't die because that would be sad.
It would be very sad.
Who's your favorite character in the first three movies?
When I was a kid, I was definitely Luke Skywalker, and then as you get older, I think then Han Solo.
Oh, so Luke is for the kids, and Han Solo is for like the grown ups or the teens.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably.
Is anybody a big Yoda stan though?
Oh, everybody, universally,
everyone's
beloved.
A Yoda stan.
Yoda, nobody.
Yeah, Yoda has 100% approval rating.
Yes, he does, because he's wise and he's humble and he's cool and he has a very powerful. So everybody loves Yoda. All right.
Okay.
So meanwhile. Han Solo and Leia, they're on the Millennium Falcon. They're on the run. They end up getting eaten by a giant space slug at one point, and then they have and they walk around in like the belly of a space slug for a little bit because they think they're in a tunnel. They're like, oh, like quick, fly into that tunnel, and then they realize like, oh wait, hold on, what are there bats in here? There's like, can you breathe in here? This is weird, and they realize. Wait, this is no tunnel. We're in the stomach of a giant space slug.
Okay. Is there a name to the space slug?
It is an unnamed space slug.
All right. And every time someone's unnamed, I'm a little suspicious. Okay. Keep going.
All right. So they just like, so they book it out of there, and the thing tries to bite them again, but they're able to get away because the ship is too fast. So they end up, so Han Solo's like, hey, I know where we can go. I've got a friend. His name is Lando, and he's got a whole setup. Well, he'll hide us. That it'll be cool. He'll hide us, and he owes me a favor, so don't worry.
Lando. Is Lando like Lando Calrissian or something?
Yes, I've heard his name
before.
Played by Billy Dee Williams in the original films. Later played by Donald Glover.
Is he Donald Glover?
Yes. Later played by Donald Glover.
That's right. I've seen his name. Okay.
In the prequel, in the standalone Han Solo movie of the young Han Solo. So then. Lando, is like, Han, come on in. Oh, you'll be fine over here. Don't worry about anything. We've got a great setup. You guys came to the right place. There's no sign of the Empire anywhere around here. And so they're like, oh, okay, this is great. This is perfect. Lando, this is huge. Lando, we owe you big time. But meanwhile, one of those bounty hunters, Boba Fett, he tracked the Millennium Falcon to the Cloud City. And
Cloud City. Okay.
The Cloud City. They're like, it's like a Jetson city. It's sort of like everything's up on like a very high up in the clouds, like on like tiny little poles.
Okay.
And so they think they're going to be fine. And Lando says, look, I just made a deal with the Empire. Keep them way out of here. Don't worry about anything. Everything's going to be fine. You guys just relax, hang out. And don't worry. And they bring everybody into a room, and Darth Vader is right there. And they realize Lando Ooh. Sold them out. Lando, oh, Lando sold them
not
out.
Cool.
Told them no, not don't cool, worry. Lando. And so Darth Vader now, he is there's a little bit of a struggle, but he is able to capture Han Solo and Princess Leia and the droids and Chewbacca, but Chewbacca gets badly hurt trying to fight Darth Vader and is left for dead after this.
Oh man, I'm nervous about Chewbacca.
Okay. Darth Vader has a plan. So what he wants to do is that he's trying to capture Leia and Han Solo and Chewbacca because he's then going to then use that to draw out Luke Skywalker. Now that he knows about Luke Skywalker, this is a person of interest to the Empire. Luke Skywalker.
Is that the CBS television show Person of Interest? Is that like explore this Luke,
no.
Luke Skywalker situation?
No.
Okay.
Luke. So that's the plan. Because then they're going to bring Luke Skywalker, because the Skywalker is very, very important people in the Star Wars universe. They're going to bring Skywalker to the Emperor. This is the first time we really get to hear about the Emperor. The Emperor is Darth Vader's boss. Emperor, you know, it's an empire. Need an Emperor. And very evil.
What's his name?
Emperor Palpatine.
Just Emperor?
Yeah.
Okay, mostly, him I've heard of. That's real.
Mostly referred to as the Emperor.
Okay.
And so Luke Skywalker, that in the midst of his training with Yoda, he has, like, he sensed with the Force, you know, you can sense like, oh, something's wrong. And all my friends got captured. I have to leave. And Yoda is like, no, stay you must. It's like, no, I got to get out of here. I got to leave. Got to go. My friends are in danger. And Yoda's like, bad idea. Don't like it. This is bad. You're making a mistake. And he says, no, I'll come back. Don't worry. I'll come back and finish my training. But that I have to. My friends are in danger. I got to go help my friends. And so he ends up, you know, he's learned a lot, but he doesn't know everything. But he's going to go. His friends are in trouble. He's got to go save them. And so meanwhile, back at the Cloud City, a lot
it
of
seems
stuff
like
going
friendship
on.
Is like the main theme of this, of these whole like giant movie series.
Yeah. You know,
it's like it's a lot about friends.
Important to have friends. Okay. So Chewbacca, that he was very badly hurt and he ends up getting medical attention from the Cloud City medic. Her name is Dr. Beverly Crusher, and she has taken a liking to Chewbacca, even though she works for Lando. And so she has a son, and his name is Wesley. And he ends up letting Chewbacca out. And Chewbacca is able to go and find his friends later on.
Okay.
So this is where Darth Vader is going to... He needs to, like, okay, well, Luke Skywalker, once we get him here, what do I do with him? We're going to freeze him in metal. We're going to freeze him in carbonite, because then we can transport him to on the long trip to the Emperor. I don't know really know.
Freeze him in carbonite.
Yeah, I don't know why they really need to do that, because like they could just put him in handcuffs and bring him to the Emperor. It's not like that the journey is going to be like 10 years to get to the Emperor, but like, okay, let's freeze him. And then either the Emperor can keep him frozen, or the Emperor could just do what he wants with him.
Why can't they just bring him in handcuffs without freezing him?
Maybe because he has the Force. I don't know. Too unpredictable. So
okay, fine.
But we need to test this thing that freezes people in metal. Metal called carbonite. And so they end up picking Han Solo. Han Solo, we're gonna freeze you. And so in front of Princess Leia, very sad that they put Han Solo into the machine. And they freeze him in the carbonite. He's frozen in this metal and in suspended animation.
Okay.
But he's not dead. He's just frozen. He's frozen in like a metal block.
All right. Yeah, I think he's going to survive. I'm betting on him making it.
And okay. So they give him to the bounty hunter, Boba Fett, because Han Solo, you know, I talked about that. He's, you know, he's got issues that he owes money to a guy named Jabba the Hutt. He owes a lot of money to Jabba the Hutt. And so because that it basically that's like a Jabba the Hutt's like a bookie, and Han Solo owes him a lot of money. And so they say, OK, just send Han Solo to Jabba the Hutt, because that Jabba the Hutt's been trying to chase him down. So he owes him money. They send Han Solo off to go live with Jabba the Hutt in
the bookie.
Yeah.
What are people betting on in Star Wars land?
Pod racing a lot. A lot of pod racing betting. Job of the Hutt.
Now, if there were podcast racing, we would lose. We go much slower than most other podcasts.
Okay. So, ultimately, Princess Leia is very upset, but Lando ends up then doing another about face, and he flips on the Empire and ends up telling Leia, we're going to get out of here. I'm not, forget about my deal. They changed it too many times. And so now Lando is back with the good guys, even though he sold them out.
Oh, was it a double cross by Lando?
Not intentionally. I think he made a deal. He made a deal with the Empire that they're like, okay. And I'm not sure exactly what his deal was, but then the Empire was like, no, we're actually going to do this. And then he's like, you changed the deal. And then he's like, well, Darth Vader's like, well, pray I don't change it any further. Okay. And then
interesting.
It was too much for Lando to take. So he ends up flipping back because the Empire, you know, you don't negotiate with terrorists. Okay. And this is why, because that they negotiated in bad faith and Lando's like, all right, I'm out of the deal. And so then Lando tells Leia, we're going to get out of here. They meet up with Chewbacca. They find R2-D2 and R2-D2 is with Luke. They find C-3PO and they get onto the Millennium Falcon and they get out of there. But meanwhile, that's their story. There's a lot of cross-cutting back and forth. Luke Skywalker gets to the Cloud City and he ends up fighting with Darth Vader. They're like, hey, where are my friends? And they get into a big fight. And that's when Darth Vader tells him, like, did Obi-Wan ever tell you? He's voiced by James Earl Jones, who's also famous. But James Earl Jones was not in the suit. And he says, did Obi-Wan ever tell you what happened
to
your father?
Like dinosaurs 2 weeks ago.
Right. And he's like, yeah.
Oh, don't tell me it's coming right now?
Yes.
At the end of episode 2?
Episode 5.
Oh, I figured it would be, what?
Episode
5?
Oh. Yeah, he's like, yeah, he told me.
I figured it would be at the end of 6.
He told me you killed him. He's like, no, Luke, I am your father.
Holy cow.
And he says,
well, you know, spoiled to me by Toy Story 2, because that happens in Toy Story 2 also.
Yeah, Zurg is Buzz Lightyear's father.
Yes, Zurg is Buzz Lightyear's dad. Yeah, spoilers for Toy Story 2.
Okay.
By the way, rank the Toy Stories quickly. I say 2, 3, 1.
2, 3, 1. Now, one is the worst.
I'll tell you why. As a parent of kids, little kids don't like 1 because Spike is too scary. It's a little too dark.
Mm-hmm.
2 and 3 are much lighter and airier and happier. Spike is scary.
Let's put this on the wheel. Let's put this on the wheel. I don't want to get bogged down with this now.
Well, what are we going to do? Watch all 3 Toy Story movies?
I don't know. Toy Story 4 is coming out.
Yeah. Okay, fine. We'll all right. Keep going. We're almost done with 2.
Sorry, sorry. Okay. All right.
Okay.
So then he's like, Luke, join me, and we could rule the galaxy as father and son. He's like, come into the family business. Join the family business. You'll be the executive.
What's family business? Like being evil?
Yeah. We'll rule the empire like the emperor. He doesn't know what he's doing. We'll take over. You'll be the executive vice president of,
I got it
right now, but
yeah,
but basically
these
that's
are not direct
pitch.
Quotes.
Yes. Yes. So don't say like, oh, that was fake that, Darth Vader said you'll be the vice president of the empire. But basically he wants him to join him in being part of the empire.
Okay. Fair pitch.
You know, we're doing good things. We're doing like, we're killing everybody. It's awesome. And so Luke's like, no, I'll never join you. And his arm has been chopped off. His hand got chopped off.
What?
Luke Skywalker's hand got chopped off. Oh. And so he's like sort of cowering, and he's like, you know, he's very scared. Darth Vader is going to get him. And then he ends up just like jumping into another. In the Star Wars universe, lots of like cavernous abysses. And Luke Skywalker just jumps into one. He just like, rather than join Darth Vader, he'd rather just like plummet to his death.
Oh my God.
Yes. But he ends up sort of like in the underbelly of Cloud City, where there's a lot of, you know, he ends up sort of like, getting like, he's like sliding through like the pipes, and then ultimately ends up stopping. And then the floor just opens up, and then he's like underneath Cloud City. He's like holding on with his one good hand. And
so like the sky.
No, he's like holding on to like, there's like an antenna underneath one of these things. I don't know if they have like TV antennas under there. And Luke Skywalker is holding on. And then Leia is like, I feel like that Luke's in trouble. We got to go back. And Lando's like, no, that's crazy. We can't go back. They're like, no, do it. Go back. And they go back and they find Luke Skywalker and they open up the top of the Millennium Falcon and they bring him in and they end up getting away. But it's dark times for the rebels here at the end of The Empire Strikes Back. Han Solo has been captured. He's in Carbonite with Jabba the Hutt. Luke finds out that Luke's arm got cut, or his hand got cut off. He found out Darth Vader is his dad. The rebels are on the run. The Hoth got you know, all their hideout is lost. So the rebels are really on the run here at the end of this.
So the rebels take an L in movie two.
Yes,
that we're talking about.
Yes,
big dub for the Empire.
Yeah.
So it's like 1-1, and now we're going to play the rubber match on Sunday.
Yes, yeah, best of three. Okay. Empire up, Rebels down at the end. And they really have...
Now people have to wait 3 years to see, like, is Luke going to get unfrozen and stuff like that?
Yes.
That's wild.
Well, no, Han is frozen.
Sorry. I would be, like, if they're on the edge of my seat for 3 years. People would probably go nuts.
Mm-hmm. And then... Luke Skywalker.
Did they know there was going to be a third movie? Was it like started as a trilogy?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that people didn't know there was going to be a second movie. But once they made the second movie, then you knew there was.
Yeah, but can you imagine if it like flopped and then there's no third movie and you just have to like George Lucas gets pestered for the rest of his life? Like, hey, whatever happened to him? And I don't know.
Yeah. Luke Skywalker is going to get like a robot hand also. But it looks, he wears a glove on it. You don't really see it as a robot hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. That's the end of the second movie.
I love it so far. All right. Let's go. Let's do number
three. Are you into it?
I wouldn't say. I'm into the story. I'm very invested in who's gonna like come out on top right now for sure. I'm excited.
All right, Return of the Jedi, Episode 6, 1983. We're gonna open up with the Empire. You know, we're talking about how they've got all the momentum in the galaxy right now, and guess what they're thinking?
Let's go for the win. Let's rout these rebels.
Yep, and they're gonna build a new Death Star. Death Star 2. Is being made. It's in construction.
That's the best name they could come up with.
Call it Death Star 2, but they're building another Death Star. The first one, we figured out what the problem was, that if you make it where that if you just shoot a torpedo into our exhaust port, the whole thing is going to blow up. We fixed that. We worked out all the kinks, and now we have like a 75% completed Death Star. Okay? We're closing in on a fully operational Death Star. Death Star 2. Meanwhile, we're going to open up back on Tatooine, where we're going to get to see the hideout of Jabba the Hutt. And it's not much of a hideout. Jabba the Hutt has a palace. Jabba the Hutt's palace. And we see C-3PO and R2-D2 go up and bang on the door of Jabba the Hutt's palace. And they've got a message for Jabba the Hutt. They need to see
Jabba
the Hutt.
He must be a really good bookie, Jabba the Hutt, if he's got a palace.
Jabba the Hutt is a giant slug guy. Have you ever seen Jabba the Hutt?
Well, I know him from like Spaceballs, right? Isn't he like a fake pizza guy
in Star Wars, he's a big slug guy. So imagine like a 20-foot long slug that's really fat.
Is he like a good guy or a bad guy, Jabba?
Bad guy.
Oh, okay. Hutt. I thought he was sort of neutral.
Yeah. And he's kind of lecherous. He's like, you know, this big, you know, talk about his weight, but he's not a, like a muscular, slender slug. He's gross.
Yes. I know a lot of muscular, slender slugs. Yeah, he is not one of them. I got it.
He eats slimy things. He has like drool coming out of his mouth.
Doesn't eat pizza?
Doesn't eat pizza. He would eat pizza.
It's just in Spaceballs.
He would eat pizza if that was the case. But they don't have any pizza for him. And so there's a message for Jabba the Hutt. And Jabba the Hutt, the message that R2-D2 and C-3PO play, it's from Luke Skywalker. And he says, hey, give us back our friend. We want Han Solo back or, you know, I'll come there and destroy you. And Jabba the Hutt laughs it off. So funny. Like, no way. He's not afraid. He's not afraid of anything, Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, I mean, why would you be afraid if you're a slug? I don't even know how you'd kill this slug. You'd, like, cut off, like, yeah.
Yeah, so, all right. Now, a bounty hunter. A lot of bounty hunters in the Star Wars universe, like, they go out and look for people for money. A new bounty hunter has shown up, and says that basically wants give a bunch of money. And I'm not sure exactly the demands of the bounty hunter, but basically the bounty hunter has a thermal detonator. He's going to blow up the whole place if you don't meet his demands.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. Jabba the Hutt likes the cut of this bounty hunter's jib and agrees to the demands. Says, okay, here, fine. I like you. I like you, bounty hunter. You can stay and hang out. So meanwhile, now it's nighttime. There's a big party going on at Jabba the Hutt's house. It's like a rap video of the Star Wars galaxy. Of everybody's getting crunk. There's girls dancing. It's a scene. It's a scene. And but this is the kind of party that Jabba the Hutt likes. And you know he's a bad guy, Jabba the Hutt. And this bounty hunter then goes up to the Han Solo frozen statue, and then ends up like tapping in the code to unfreeze Han Solo. And the bounty hunter takes off the bounty hunter mask, and it's Princess Leia. It was Princess Leia the whole time pretending to be this bounty hunter and who was going to threaten to blow up Jabba the Hutt with a thermal detonator. And so Han Solo, he's unfrozen now and he's fine, but he's blind. He can't see.
Holy cow.
He can't see. But meanwhile, somehow, despite being like a, 1500 pound slug, Jabba the Hutt has like snuck up on Princess Leia and he's like kind of like hiding behind a curtain. And then they open the curtain and he's like,
is it like messy when he walks? Is it like slimy?
They don't really show him walking. I think
when he like moves, I imagine everywhere he goes,
I think
like
he's on
gross.
Like a platform that they sort of like maybe push around and he's laughing. And Han Solo is like, I know that voice. I know it. Jabba, I was just going to pay you back your money. And so now Jabba the Hutt, he's really pissed because this was his favorite decoration, Han Solo. So now Princess Leia, she's also going to be his prisoner. And you know what he's going to do? This is really crazy. Jabba the Hutt, he's a slug guy. I don't know where he gets off, but he's going to make Princess Leia walk around in like this skimpy, sexy bathing suit, gold bathing suit. What is he? What does he have any use for human beings?
I was going to ask if he's like a creep around women, but it sounds like he is.
He does seem to have a thing for humanoid women. He has them dancing around, but you would think that he would. I mean, I guess that I guess this is probably a positive thing that Jabba the Hutt is, loves all species.
Not really.
That's not a positive?
That's a good spin, I guess.
I guess so. I mean, you can't say that he has any sort of, he's not a species.
Right, he's not racist again. Yeah, but he, congratulations. He's a horny dude.
Snail. But he's going to make Leia into like a slave bikini girl. And
not great.
Not good. Not good. That nobody's happy about this. No
2018 Jabba. Yeah. You could do better than
that. And
this.
So Luke Skywalker is gonna now show up. And he shows up. He's in all black now. He's finished his Jedi training now.
Okay. All right. He got his black belt essentially.
Yes, and his black shirt. And he's a full-fledged Jedi, and he's there. And so ultimately, Jabba the Hutt kind of dunks on Luke a little bit here where he makes him fall through a trap door and then makes him fight his monster. But then Luke Skywalker beats his monster. And then he says, take two. We're going to go out onto my yacht, on my desert yacht. And then I'm going to throw you into a different pit. Okay. You kill my monster. Now we're going
into the pit. Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah. You have to go into we're going to feed you to the Sarlacc pit where it's going to take 1,000 years to digest you.
Yikes. That's a painful death.
A very painful death coming for our heroes. And they go out on the barge with Jabba the Hutt. But Luke had the whole thing on lockdown. Lando was disguised as one of the guards. There are lots of disguises in the Star Wars movies. And then R2-D2, that they turned him into like a drink-serving robot, but he really had Luke's lightsaber hidden.
Are there a lot of robots that he could just play a different robot and nobody would know the difference?
No, he didn't play a different robot. That Jabba, when he got captured, they told him, okay, you'll go serve drinks on Jabba the Hutt's barge.
Mm.
And so you would think that a slug would want to be like around, like near the water, not like hanging out in the desert so much. But I don't, you know, it's not my movie. And then R2-D2 shoots up the lightsaber to Luke Skywalker, and that they fight everybody off. Only bad guys and Boba Fett fall into the Sarlacc pit. And fortunately, Princess Leia is able to, she uses her slave chains and she chokes out Jabba the Hutt and strangles him. And like his big tongue is just like hanging out of his mouth. Cause he's
is he dead.
Dead? Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah. Peace. We hate you, Jabba the Hutt. I'm out on Jabba.
Leia is able to kill him.
So that's it. He never appears again. He's not in any, like, I guess he's in the prequels, right?
Briefly.
Okay.
And then in the 1997 movie, they end up turning, like, they make a guy into Jabba the Hutt, and he's like getting into it with Han Solo in one part. But nobody likes that now.
Who's the guy everyone hates in the prequels?
Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar. Yeah, I'm curious about him for the next time. Okay.
Okay. All right. So Luke Skywalker, that he needs to go back and you know, tie things up with Yoda. He left Yoda.
Does he
Yoda.
Say we need to go back? Because that's a big 80s movie thing. We need to go back.
I don't
back.
Think he said that, but they're like, all right, where are you guys going? So the rebels are going to go meet up with where the rest of the rebels are hanging out. They're working on another big plan. And so Luke Skywalker's like, I'll meet up with you guys. I got to go see Yoda. I left under, you know, bad circumstances. He told me not to leave. Mm-hmm. He wasn't doing well. I need to go check in on Yoda before this is all done. So Luke Skywalker goes back to go see Yoda. And so while he's there, he asks Yoda, like, why didn't you tell me that Darth Vader was my dad? Yoda confirms that. Yes, that's right. I didn't say anything, but yeah, that he is your dad. And we also see the ghost of Obi-Wan Kenobi again. And he says to Luke that Leia is actually your twin sister. You have a sister too. So another big, big reveal. So Leia is Luke Skywalker's twin sister.
And they made out.
They kissed. There was no tongue, but they definitely did kiss.
So there's incest in Star Wars?
Apparently.
That's weird. I feel like I would hear about that much more.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't think you'd make up incest, but I also think it's weird that there's incest.
Okay.
Are they like full siblings? Are they half siblings?
They're full twins. They were in the womb
they're
together.
Twins?
Yeah.
He made out with his twin. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
He didn't Yikes know it was his twin sister, but.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations to him.
Yeah. There was no tongue, but definitely a kiss on the lips.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Tell it to the jury.
All right. Okay. So Yoda tells Luke Skywalker that now the only way that we're going to beat the Empire, you have to take on Vader. You're our only hope. You need to beat Vader. And Luke Skywalker is talking to Yoda, and Yoda is so weak, and he's collapsing. And so Luke says, I can't leave you, Yoda. I can't leave you like this. You're so weak. And so he takes Yoda with him to go meet up with the rebels. He won't leave Yoda alone. Says you have to come with us, Yoda.
Okay. And so Yoda's a come with guy.
Yeah, he's a come with guy. Seinfeld so Luke, okay. Yoda, and R2-D2, they are off to go meet back up with the rebels. So the rebels are working on a plan. Okay. Hey, there's the new Death Star. We got to stop them, because if they turn this one on, we have no ace in the hole. We have no, you know, way to just, we got to stop it before they finish it. And so there is a moon called Endor. And on the moon of Endor, there are shield generators that are protecting the build of the new Death Star. And they have a plan where if they get to Endor and they can blow up the shield generators on Endor, that'll allow them to get in and blow up the core of the new Death Star before it's built.
Death Star 2. Okay,
Death Star
got it.
2. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so so Luke and Yoda, R2-D2, they get there, and Luke is going to go be on the scout mission with Leia, where they're going to go check out this planet Endor, or they call it a moon of Endor, or maybe the planet is Endor and this is a moon of Endor. and don't at me on this, okay, everybody? And so
you should have issued the blanket don't at me like three, you know, because I'm sure you made some mistakes. Like
I probably you know, I'm probably, you know, around hopefully at least 95%
okay, good,
correct.
How many times? Remind me, how many times have you seen these movies?
I don't know. You know, dozens. I mean, over the course of my life, okay. I don't, you know, watch them.
Has your wife ever seen Star Wars?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You know, Luke and Leia, they're going to go and, they fly in on a stolen Imperial. That's what they have this time. They have a stolen Imperial shuttle and they land on Endor and they're going to go, scout it out. And they end up seeing like a bunch of things going on and they end up, you know, blowing up a couple of these stormtroopers that are there, but they end up meeting a whole society of little bear people called Ewoks.
Okay.
Okay. And
them I've heard of.
So the Ewoks, they are, you know, the native people of Endor. And they are, you know, don't underestimate them. They have like slingshots and catapults and nets and stuff like that. And, but they're little bear people.
Okay.
Very cute. Very marketable.
Oh, so is that what they did? They did it for merch?
Yeah.
A lot of these like merch based things.
Yeah.
At this point, probably episode one they didn't or really four, have whatever. Yeah. They weren't worrying about merch. At this point, it's mostly merch.
The Ewoks are, you know, this is very kid friendly.
Like, did George Lucas direct all these movies?
I think he directed the first and the third one, and I think that a different person directed The Empire Strikes Back. But again, that is off the top of my head. Do not quote me on that. So, all right. Anyway, so we're going to see ultimately, you know, Luke, Leia, Han Solo, R2-D2, Chewbacca, they get captured by the Ewoks because they get brought to their Ewok village where they look at C-3PO as their god because he's made out of gold.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay. And so then Luke Skywalker is like, hey, play into it. You know, you're their god. And then so he ends up saying, because the Ewoks are going to eat everybody. They're even going to eat Chewbacca. And he's like a big Ewok.
No, I thought they were like good guys.
They are good guys. Actually, I don't think Leia gets captured. She sort of just befriends one of the Ewoks separately. And then Luke is able to then use his force magic as like an act of the golden C-3PO god. And then they kind of back off. They back off and they fear them. And then everybody is cool.
Okay. Happily ever after. Sure.
Happily ever after. And so now the Ewoks are in on the plan to blow up the shield generator here on Endor, but it's a two-pronged attack, actually a three-pronged attack, actually. So there's going to be action that's going to be taking place on Endor where we're going to blow up the shield generator on Endor. Meanwhile, we're going to fly in the Rebel fleet to, once the shields are down, then the Rebel fleet is going to fly in and they're going to go try to blow up the core. We need somebody to fly the Millennium Falcon. Lando is going to be on that one. Okay.
I thought you said Randy Quaid was going to volunteer.
No. Lando is going to be on that because, you know, Han Solo is going to stay with Leia and they're going to be on the ground on Endor. Lando is with the fleet and the fleet is they're taking instructions from a new guy. Admiral Akbar is his name. He's kind of like a lobster person.
A lobster person?
Yeah.
Okay. Keep going.
He's like a lobster guy, but he's in charge of the fleet.
All right. He's the fleet master. Okay.
Okay. And then meanwhile, then the third prong of this, Luke Skywalker needs to go onto the Death Star and then battle Darth Vader. So we got the action on the ground. We got the action in space. And then Luke Skywalker.
There's going to be a sword duel, right? That's famous.
Yeah. He needs to go beat Darth Vader. And so his plan to go meet up with Darth Vader, he doesn't want to fight his dad. He wants to maybe talk some sense into his dad. He's going to go surrender to the Empire. So Luke Skywalker ends up back channeling with the Empire. And that he agrees to surrender. He's going to surrender to Darth Vader. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So Luke is brought to Vader, and he's like, Dad, you don't have to be on the dark side anymore. Just come back. And Vader's like, I don't think so. Too late for me. I'm not coming back. You should, you know, let's do this together. You come to the dark side. And they can't figure out what to do. But anyway, I got to bring you to the emperor. That's my boss told me to bring you to him, so I got to do that. And I can't. It's too late for me to quit the dark side.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
So far, so good.
And so so Luke Skywalker is brought to the emperor, and the emperor says that, look, Death Star is already working. You idiots. It's all set up. You guys are playing into this was a trap that we made for you. Meanwhile, back on Endor, things are looking bad because now Han Solo and his team gets captured. But luckily, the Ewoks are able to end up leading an attack of their own on the Empire. And then the Ewoks, these little bear guys, are able to dunk on the Empire. And with their like Ewoks. Catapults and slingshots.
I didn't know the Ewoks were like that powerful that they could do this.
They're not these that powerful, guys. But they were
underestimated.
They take
down the whole empire, it sounds
yeah.
like.
Yeah, they have. It's not, who has the advantage. It's what is the advantage. And in this case, it was catapults and slingshots and rocks. And they would like tie up like a big rock with a rope. And then when one of the big... robot walking things was underneath it, then they would let go of the rope and then the rocks would fall down and knock down the robot stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they could really, they were very, ingenious, these Ewoks.
Yeah, sounds like they're just regular genius, not ingenious. Okay.
They don't need lasers. They could just do it all with like rocks. And then also sometimes then they have like, sort of like they tie like a big log up with a rope and then they cut the rope and then it sort of like swings down like a battering ram. And sometimes they do two of them at the same time and just like smash some of the big artillery items that the Empire has.
Okay.
All right. So meanwhile... Lando is able to get the rebel fleet into the Death Star, but they find out it's a trap and Admiral Ackbar, calls it out to everybody. It's a trap. And then it's looking really bad for the rebels. You know, they got into it.
Yeah. At this point, they're like 30 point underdogs and I'm assuming we're getting near the end.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Imperial fleet is also waiting for them. So they set up this whole thing. They knew that the rebels were not going to be able to resist getting an attack in on the Empire before the Death Star came up. And now they've got the rebels trapped. And so the Emperor starts telling Luke, like, hey, Luke, guess what? All your friends are going to die. So doesn't that make you mad? Because if you get mad, then you want to give in to the dark side. That's one of the first steps of going to the dark side. You got to get really pissed. Like Jedis don't get pissed. Yeah, lose your temper and like tap into that rage.
Okay, Jedis don't get pissed. All right,
yes.
Good advice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, the Emperor is trying to bait Luke. Luke ends up sort of in the lightsaber battle with Darth Vader. And Darth Vader, he then says that, hold on a second. I'm sensing that there's somebody else. You have a sister. I could turn her to the dark side too.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Now Luke
why
is
don't
getting,
they hug if they're like father and son and just like
no,
hug it out?
There's too much bad blood.
They're
and
too,
so Luke,
it's too far gone. Okay.
Luke is getting angrier and sort of like this anger is helping Luke fight his dad and he ends up cutting off one of Darth Vader's hands.
Okay. So it's a hand for hand.
Hand for hand, but Darth Vader already his arms are already like robot arms from that's for a story for another day.
Okay.
But so the Emperor tells Luke, do it, kill Vader, and then you can be my new number one. You have to take him down, kill Vader right now, and then you'll be the new vice president of the Empire. You'll do it. And Luke, he doesn't do it. He says, no, I'm not going to do it. He says, I'm a Jedi. I'm not going to kill my dad just because you tell me to. And so the Emperor gets so mad. He starts shooting Luke Skywalker with his lightning. He has like lightning that he can shoot out of his hands.
Yikes. Okay.
And so he's shooting Luke and Darth Vader sees this. And he's like, I'm not going to let this guy shoot my kid with lightning, and he picks up the Emperor and he throws him in another one of these bottomless pits in on the Death Star. They still didn't figure that out, where there's just these caverns and people just fall into them. And so the emperor just falls to his death because, and you see he's still shooting lightning as he's falling.
That's insane.
Yeah. And so now Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader, now they get to have that father and son moment. And Luke Skywalker is like, Dad, I got to help you. And he's like, no, it's too late for me, Luke. He's like, just take off my mask. And we see Darth Vader with his mask off, and he's like all old and decrepit and bloated and pale and bald.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I just wanted to look at you.
But it's not James Earl Jones.
It's not. It's definitely not James Earl Jones.
Okay, fine.
He's like, I just wanted to look at you with my own eyes. And then he dies. Darth Vader is dead.
Oh my God. So he's not in the prequels. Oh, he is in the prequels, but he's not in like 7, 8, and 9.
He's not.
Jeez.
He's dead.
R.I.P.
Okay, down on the ground, because the Ewoks are able to help the rebels. They take out the shield generator. Lando and his group are able to go ahead and knock out the reactor. And so this Death Star is going to blow. And Lando and his guys are going to get out of there. And Luke is going to get out of there with Darth Vader's body. And they get out of there. And then the second Death Star blows up.
Okay. Saw that coming.
Mm-hmm. So back on Endor. Okay. We're going to have a little wrap up here. On Endor. Han Solo senses there's something wrong with Leia. Leia has not been herself. And he's like, all right. I get it. You're in love with Luke. That's why you've been so distant. I get it. Makes sense. She's like, no, that's not it. That's not it at all. Luke is my brother, she says. And then her
made out.
Yeah, well, she doesn't tell him that part. And then Leia and Han Solo, then they kiss. Okay? So they have this, they have finally, there's some romance there. So
they kissed already in episode one.
That was in episode five. Episode five.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was the last movie. And they did kiss in the last movie. So
okay.
So Luke comes back to Endor and everybody is partying. And so Luke is met by Yoda, who now has regained all of his powers and the strength of his youth because the dark side has been vanquished. And he says,
that's what he was waiting for.
Yes. And he says that because of the death of the emperor, he is going to work on a new system of government, the United Federation of Planets. And he is going to work side by side with Admiral Akbar to rebuild the government.
Okay.
We've gotten rid of the corrupt empire. Now Yoda is going to be the new leader.
So he's making like a UN of the space.
Yes,
space.
A United Federation of Planets.
Okay.
And then in the celebration, everybody is partying. Yoda meets Han Solo for the first time and he sees his necklace and he's able to read it to Han. And it says that Han Solo is a prince. And then Han Solo proposes to Princess Leia, and they can finally be together. And Luke watches this all from the distance as the spirits of Obi-Wan Kenobi and now his father, Anakin Skywalker, watch over him. End credits.
Ooh, there we go.
All right.
Let me tell you what I think you made up now.
Okay, well, let's just before we get to that.
Okay.
Okay. What do you think, Keeve? Do you feel like you have a grasp of the Star Wars films?
I'll tell you the problem. You spoiled everything for me.
Okay. But do you now feel like you get it now? Do you feel like
that, I think
like,
I get it. I think I don't know if I'm saying I get what happens. I don't know if I get why it's like the most popular thing ever, but I'm not knocking it. I feel like I like it more than I did an hour ago.
Oh, good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'd be curious to see some of this stuff. Yeah.
All right. So you're intrigued.
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. I feel like, but I also want to know what was fake. Some of the good stuff you told me might be fake. I don't know.
Yes. If your favorite things were not real, then
right. Let's find out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So let me go ahead and I'll get my buzzer and I'll get my bell. And why don't you tell me the things that you feel like were not supposed to be there?
All right. I picked out about four things per episode.
Okay.
All right. Number one, I don't think there's a moisture farm. That sounds weird.
Okay. You are being buzzed that you are incorrect, that that Luke Skywalker did grow up on Uncle Owen's moisture farm.
Okay. Now, can you be lying to me now?
No. I mean, I could be wrong in terms of we could get like a million emails like, hey, no, A-hole, Uncle Owen. But I believe Moisture Farm, Star Wars, I think that's Moisture Farm, on hot and desert worlds like Tatooine, moisture farming is a vital activity.
Okay. Or were there really robots that clean things? Cleaning robots.
What was that part of?
You mentioned that there were robots that clean things.
That they had to clean. That Luke had to clean the robots. I don't think that
did he have to clean robots? Did Luke have to clean robots?
The robots were dirty. I don't know why Owen needed them, but that's not really a plot point.
All right. Or they're really Tusken Raiders.
You think that's fake?
I think that's fake.
No. They're real, also known as the Sand People. I feel like that seems more of a slur to call them the Sand People.
I also think
their proper name is the Tusken Raiders.
I also thought Smugglers were fake, but it was really baked into like the next movies. So I'm on the fence. Now I think Smugglers are real.
Yeah, a lot of smuggling going on. Empire is sort of got a real death grip on everything. Got to smuggle things around if you want to, really get in on sort of the underbelly of the Star Wars Empire.
All right. Movie two. Is there really an abominable snowman?
What do you think? You say no.
No, there's no way there's an abominable snowman. A hard word to say. Abominable.
I don't know what its name was, but it's definitely like an abominable snowman. Unnamed abominable.
Okay. Were they really swallowed up by a space slug?
You say that's fake.
I say that is fake.
No, that happened.
Oh my God.
It's like a space, are in like an asteroid belt. And then
I want to get
into this tunnel. For that is that one of the things you liked or didn't like?
I almost need to see it. I need to see a visual of the space slug to see if I like it or not.
Yeah.
Was he really frozen in carbonite?
You think that's fake?
You brought it to the next movie also.
Yeah, what part of it did you think was fake?
Well, I didn't think he was frozen in carbonite. I thought they could just bring him on the ship. Why did they have to freeze him? Did it seem like superfluous?
No, he's frozen.
Is Jabba the Hutt really a bookie?
You know, I think that that might be an oversimplified. Okay. He's referred to as a gangster. Han Solo owes him money. So
he's a good guy.
I mean, is bookie part of his job or what he does? I would not be surprised if Jabba the Hutt has taken money for sports betting, but it's not really broken down like that in the films.
All right. Does he really have a robot hand?
Who?
Han or Luke or whoever had the robot hand. I didn't write down who.
Yes,
I haven't nailed one fake thing yet. That's not great. I wonder if you were more subtle than me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, movie three. Does Jabba the Hutt really live in a palace?
Yeah.
Okay. Obi-Wan Kenobi's ghost? Was it really his ghost that tells them what's up, what's what?
I mean, his force ghost? I mean, that's real.
I didn't nail one thing. Is Admiral Akbar really a lobster person?
I mean, Google him. You tell me.
All right. I'm about to be shut out here.
A-C-K-B-A-R.
Yeah, he is. and then, did the Ewoks really save the day? I feel like they're too, meek to save the day. I didn't hit one thing. All right, so tell me the big lies. Tell me what the big lies were, because I didn't get one lie.
So I didn't have a lot, subtle lie. So here are the things that that I put in there that were, that did not happen in the Star Wars films. So, really, in the first film, there was not much. I was pretty much pretty straightforward. The one thing, the one piece of information that I added, the plot point that I added, was that Han Solo's backstory, that he was an orphan and was raised by smugglers after being found by a baby, abandoned with only a necklace that nobody has ever been able to read. This whole plot line is completely borrowed from Spaceballs.
There's no fake necklace. Wow. I thought that sounded very familiar. I thought that was pretty clever
because I thought you would have seen Spaceballs.
But you know what? In hindsight, there was no payoff to the necklace story. So there you go. You got me.
Well, Then he was able to marry Leia, but that's all. That everything about the necklace was a fake story that was going on. That was just borrowed from Spaceballs. In the second film, Chewbacca was hurt in the battle with Darth Vader. This did not happen. This was not a real plot point, and he did not have any interaction or relationship with Dr. Beverly Crusher. She was the doctor on Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Oh, okay.
That where she does indeed have a son named Wesley, but this plot point was not part of the Star Wars film. There was nothing going on with Dr. Crusher and with Wesley and Chewbacca. At one point, I was going to have that Chewbacca had a love interest in Dr. Crusher. I thought that might have been too much.
That would have been a nice trick.
I don't know if you were buying the Dr. Crusher Chewbacca love story. Chewbacca does not have a love interest throughout the films.
I mean, it seems like most people don't.
Yeah. So then in the third film, when Luke Skywalker goes back to see Yoda, where Yoda is weakened by the rise of the dark side. I mean, that's a little bit of a stretch. It's not really like a one-to-one where Yoda's condition is not diminished by the rise of the dark side. Yoda is just 800 years old, and Yoda does in fact die when Luke goes to see him in the third movie. Yoda does not come back with Luke to go on any more of
the... Oh, so Yoda's not in 7, 8, and 9?
No. Well, that I don't want to spoil it, but...
All right, don't spoil it, because we might get there one day. Okay.
Okay. Yoda does pass away in Return... early on in Return of the Jedi. He does not accompany Luke back to work with the Rebels. And so this big ending where... Yoda is now going to lead a new United Federation of Planets. That also is not true.
There's no UN in Star Wars. Oh,
there's
man.
No UN, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your feelings on the UN. So Yoda, there is no new government that's going to be set up at the end. It's just basically like, okay, finally, we've toppled the Empire. There's no talk.
What could come worse? And we know from world politics, when you topple one bad government, it usually is replaced by a good one.
You need to have something in place to, or otherwise, you know, the void ends up, it's a vacuum, and that's not great. And so we end up with the Empire is toppled, but there's no word of Yoda or Admiral Ackbar or anything else setting this all up. And then, of course, with Yoda not being there to interpret Han Solo's necklace, that is also not a real plot point of the film. So I didn't really go crazy with a lot of fake stuff.
Interesting. All right. Fine. That was fun.
Okay. All right. Good. I hope people enjoyed it. I hope people enjoyed this walkthrough where now I'm totally out of breath from talking.
It's like
about
a fly through. Yeah, this was great because usually I have to like watch a show beforehand. I have to
this was your favorite episode.
Yeah. No question. This was amazing.
Okay. All right. Heave. All right. Are we going to get into talking about what's coming up on the wheel?
Yes, we got a lot going on. We have a lot of suggestions. We have a lot of things sort of hovering on the brink of the wheel.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. So then let's officially shift gears into talking about what's coming up on the wheel. Okay.
All right.
You don't seem amused by that anymore.
I love it. No, I love it. I think it just like it now. It's just part of the show. I think it's got to be there forever. I love the Peppa Pig music. I think it's got to be a staple. You did a Christmas movie on RHAP this week, so I'm wondering if the exploding Netflix Christmas movie.
Yeah, I think it should be gone. I think it should be gone. Okay. I mean, we're recording this on December 22nd. I don't want to watch a Christmas movie on December 27th or whenever we record.
It is on. It's done anyway. Yeah. I think I mixed up the dates. We messed this up like 3 weeks in a row. All right. So that's gone.
Yeah.
And then the Rapture can't start until after the holidays because people are away. People can't go on dates when they're going home for the holidays.
And Stephen Fishback, Dungeons and Dragons, we're going to hold on that until Stephen Fishback is done with his honeymoon.
Also, we can't have like two. We did Star Wars. We can't have Star Wars, then Dungeons and Dragons in back to back weeks. People get the wrong idea about us.
OK, great.
Guys, we're cool.
I mean, OK, let's not get carried
one
away.
One thing that maybe should get a fast pass to the wheel, got a lot of positive feedback this week online, was our MTV 90s shows.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say are trash, but the idea of watching late 90s or whenever they came out, early 2000s, some of them, which was like Next, Room Raiders, Parental Control, Date My Mom, some
just
combination.
Just for the branding, I think it's for the sake of convenience, MTV dating shows are trash.
Okay, so we're the trash trilogy we're bringing back. Is this a prequel like the Star Wars movies? A trash prequel, or this is the fourth?
I don't think
it's in canon.
Yeah, I think it's just the fourth. I think that something is trash is like, hey, this is not good. We mm-hmm. are going to take a look at it. I do think it worked probably best in terms of like the format, in terms of like kids shows are trash. That sort of like introduced the idea.
We're really
of, like,
railing on them. What if
sort
we
of,
love
like,
them?
You know, look at a bunch of things under the same umbrella, whereas 10 are trash or your tweets are trash, as much as your tweets are trash was critically acclaimed. I feel like that this is a good umbrella for, it's not like we're watching a specific episode. We're just talking about, you know, three things under one category.
Okay. So our brand is trash at this point. We're like, that's what we do. We talk about things that are trash.
Sure.
So let's put that on the wheel, right? Next, Room Raiders, Parental Control, Date My Mom, early 2000s, late 90s, MTV dating shows.
Okay.
Put it on the wheel.
All right, here we go. Onto the wheel. Okay.
There we go. So that's another thing on the wheel. And by the way, speaking of wheel, Dan the Benefactor built us a wheel. Maybe next week we'll introduce our brand spanking new wheel.
Yes. I have not been able to do a deep dive. Busy week with everything with the Survivor mm-hmm. finale. So I've not been able to do a deep dive into everything going on with that.
Ben from Philly says, what about Cesternino versus Wienerker Family Feud? So he suggests Rob, Nicole, and the kids. I just don't think that's so realistic, unless you were super interested in that.
No, I don't know how we necessarily are able to pull that together.
But he says, if the families are unwilling, what about with podcast co-hosts? It could be Rob Wiggler, Jessica Leese, versus Akiva Chester, and one of the 32 fans. I'm not sure if Ben knows what the 32 fans are, but because I don't think there are like 30. I don't think that's like a group
of
people,
have
right?
Like
the 30, we don't have like 30. I mean, I guess in theory we sort of do. I'm not sure. And then he says Mike Bloom could host, or his favorite. Do you want to guess which RHAP host is his favorite? Ben from Philly.
No.
Jordan Kalish.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
If anything,
I didn't send this to Jordan.
He could
Kalish
be on the 32 fans team.
He could be. He's a guest sometimes. So do you want to do anything with Family Feud? You have done Family Feud before.
I've done it. I don't necessarily know how the logistics would work. You know, I might get a clenched sphincter trying to think about booking one guest for this podcast.
Right.
Let
so
alone
this would be about
a team
eight guests.
Of guests
yes,
for
yes.
this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I would pass on this.
Okay. What if instead of a board game, Derek says, we played a more audio-friendly game like Cards Against Humanity, Catchphrase, Password? You'd recruit a teammate or have other competitors and play for a cash prize, perhaps Mike and Liana. I like when people like send an idea and they also try and book the episode. Mm-hmm. Perhaps Mike and Liana from the B&B would be able to host. Why are they hosting?
Yeah, definitely don't want to play Cards Against Humanity. I feel like that's mm-hmm. sort of like a shock value game of like, you know, where you say like put together offensive ideas.
Oh, yeah. I've never played that. Yeah, yeah,
well, you know, me and you in person are playing Cards Against Humanity. Fine. Does it play on a podcast? I don't think so.
James says Robin Akiva steal the Declaration of Independence.
Go on.
No, that's it.
So is the podcast us coming up with an idea? I feel like almost this might be a Frail Mary fan fiction idea.
I think it's a joke. I think it's just a joke.
You think so?
I think it's a joke. Phil from Canada says he's a millennial, and naturally he's just now going through our Seinfeld. I assume he means the podcast, maybe watching the show, in 2018. But yeah, he's talking about the podcast because he says, on the Chinese restaurant episode of your podcast, we discussed the idea of going through Rob's IMDb. If anything, maybe this could be just a good opportunity to roast the scorned. P.S. Although this is your idea from 4 years ago, I'm taking the credit if you guys put it on the wheel. If not, you two should feel ashamed of yourselves for such a non-wheel-worthy idea. So this was our idea. Chinese restaurants. We're talking many years ago at this point, over 3 years ago when we discussed this. What do you think about going through Rob's IMDb? Is there enough there? I haven't looked at your IMDb.
I don't think it's that exciting, to be honest.
It is a fun idea if someone had like a ton of credits. Like if we had Mike White on the podcast and we went through his whole IMDb, that would be fun.
No, we're not doing that. We're not going to. Okay. Everything there is gold.
Yes. No, there would be nothing bad on there.
Has not had. I did tell you before that was not wonderful.
Mm-hmm. We have Dawson's Creek in the fishbowl, and season 3, episode 7 of Dawson's Creek. I was hoping he had written it because he wrote a lot of those early season episodes, but he was gone. He only wrote a lot of episodes in seasons 1 and 2.
All the good ones.
That would have been, yeah, everyone knows. Prime Dawson's Creek was the White era.
yes.
That would have been a crazy coincidence, though. Elon says, I was listening to the Dinosaurs episode, and I love your idea of randomly prank calling various RHP people, Steven, Wiggler, Tyson, Nicole, etc. Steven would probably be so annoyed, which would make it a must. Listen, why are you calling me?
Yeah.
So I don't know if we were talking about pranking people so much as just calling a bunch of people up on the phone and maybe, you know, just maybe we could prank somebody, but it wouldn't be all prank calls. We might just be, you know, we might have a question. And we might say, like, rank the Toy Story movies for us or something.
If you wanted to do this, mm-hmm. I would say then people need to opt in. I don't want to call co-hosts just randomly.
While they're
then,
at work or something. Especially since we record in the middle of the day,
who
usually.
Work with me on mm-hmm. things for a gag. If you want to be on the do call me for a prank call at any hour, I...
But now here's the problem with that. Even though what you're saying is logical, why am I going to like email 30 different co-hosts and be like, hey, can we prank you at like 3:30 on Wednesday?
This is that the listeners would opt in. And
so we're not pranking, we're not calling the Mike Blooms and Chesters of the world. Yeah. We're
so basically,
calling listeners.
Here's how this would work. Okay, we would set up a Google form, mm-hmm. and when we put this on the board, and this mm-hmm. should go to the Wheel waiting room for now, people sign up to be on the list.
No, I'll tell you why I think it would have to, if you don't want to put it on the wheel, fine. I don't even think it needs to go in the Wheel waiting room, because I think the sign up can happen when it gets picked. You know what I mean?
No, because I want people to forget that they signed up for this. And so,
can I tell you the problem? People don't answer their phone in 2018, or this would probably not be till 2019.
Mm-hmm.
That people really don't answer their phone, and then we are calling during the day when, like, most human beings are at work. We are.
We have to try 10 people and we get 3.
Okay, fine.
And
you want to make a sign up sheet for us to call them with, like,
prank me anytime.
I think we could. Okay.
It's also and also on the form is like whatever. I mean, we need to ask Chester, like, what release do we need to, like, basically the release that I consent to my voice being used in a podcast, and they agree to it, and then you sign up, and then we call you 6 months from now. You're getting a phone call.
Problem is the people who are signing up are listening 2 hours into like a Star Wars episode of this podcast. So like they're going to know it's coming. It's not like a secret wheel spin. That's your idea makes sense, but
what do you mean they're going to know it's coming? That they are that this comes up, and we could do it before even like the episode goes up. Of like,
so here's the deal: if it comes up on the wheel, we have to prank people before we release the episode,
right?
So we might have to like record it right away. It might be like on a Wednesday, like all right, next week's episode.
So we
won't
wait until the episode comes up for people to opt in to being called. Then
fine. So I'm going to have Chester make this up for us, and then I will. Well, I'll post it on Twitter and in the Facebook group.
But let's just like get all of our ducks in a row on this and put it in the wheel waiting room. And unless somebody comes Antonio is listening is like, actually, no, this is a terrible idea. You're breaking,
I don't think we're breaking any laws. I think we're fine.
Yeah. So let's just put it out there in the wheel waiting room. And unless somebody, you know, are the finest legal minds in Robin Akiva Need a Podcast, say, do not do this. This is a minefield. This is an asteroid field.
I really like this idea, though. I like the idea of just like calling listeners and messing with them and not even pranking. Just like
doing it 7 months after they said they wanted it to happen.
True. Okay. Right. So when they sign up, they're signing up in perpetuity.
Yes.
Even if it comes up on the wheel a second time, like it's such a big hit, we add it again in like 7 months or so.
Right. And then me and you will work on a list of things that we're calling people about of like, oh, we're like, we'll be like telemarketers or pollsters or stuff like that.
Well, I don't know if we should be like, maybe we could do one prank call, but I think most of it should be like earnest. And we're just like playing games with people or asking them questions.
Well, maybe let's start with, let's see how long we can go with the fake call. And then if they realize it's us, then we'll just ask them about what they're doing.
Okay, but I feel like no one's going to answer our fake call.
Well, we don't know until we try.
What if someone signs up, like Johnny DeSavera signs up, okay?
Okay.
And then he has to, like, answer every phone call for the next 6 months, just, like, hoping it's us.
Hey. That's
All right.
Part of
Nelson
the fun.
From Denver. He's trying to punch up an idea he had a few months ago, which was the eBay podcast.
Yeah.
He says, I think I have an idea how to get the eBay podcast, or what he originally called This Is For Sale, on the wheel. He said, you guys could use the fishbowl of shows as search topics. So Rob picks a show out of the bowl, and you guys can spend the next whatever however minutes searching for memorabilia, fan art, keepsakes, etc. for the show. Strange and unique items, the better. Once you've had your fill, move on to the next show. At the end of the pod, Rob and Akiva have to buy something for each other. So I think it's fun. I just think it's a little too visual. If this was like a, if this was a video podcast, maybe it would be fun. And then at the end, we could like show what we bought. I think that this element's a little too visual. It's like a fun game to play with somebody.
Yeah.
That'd be like a fun thing to do with your friend. Like, hey, we're going to like each look on eBay and we have to buy each other a gag gift, especially in the holiday season.
Right. I kind of feel like that. And Mike and Liana have done stuff like this on the B&B with Survivor.
I had no idea. They've bought each other eBay stuff?
No, they sort of like have gone through. They do like, I think they've called it the Price is Rourke, where they sort of like, it's a guessing game. How much does, certain pieces of Survivor memorabilia go for on eBay?
All right, so they did it already.
I think there could be something fun with on eBay looking at memorabilia for a certain thing. But I feel like that we still don't have the idea. And even if I bought like, okay, I am buying Akiva this, George Wendt bobblehead. This is going to be hilarious. It's like, okay, now Akiva gets a George Wendt bobblehead, and now what?
Right. I guess, I guess there's not really a payoff. Shut Up Tim says, what about the podcast idea, Shaq Attack? Rob and Akiva do a deep dive into the non-NBA career of Shaq, including his rap album, video game, Genie movie, general car insurance commercials, etc. I'm not proposing you watch them all, but Wikipedia reviews and clips and stuff like that will pass. Didn't he have an idea which was called Brant Steel, which was we watch the movie Steel starring Shaquille O'Neal with our friend Brent.
Brant Steel. Yeah. I think this is fun that, we're 15 episodes into this podcast right now. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that I sort of have a good sense of like how these episodes would work. We would need basically somebody, maybe it's Tim, maybe it's somebody else who would.
I don't think Tim is our Shaq expert.
Is he or is he not? Tim. He's not.
I don't think he's like a big enough basketball guy to be the Shaq expert.
But this is the biography of Shaquille O'Neal minus basketball. This is everything
right.
So that like, Shaquille O'Neal has
done. He would have to listen to his rap albums. I don't remember if he has one or he might have a Foo Shenanigans.
A deep dive of the career of Shaquille O'Neal. Minus anything having to do with basketball. So I don't even want to hear about him on, Shaq the broadcaster on TNT. This is, then.
Other than his album, which that would be funny to like maybe hear the funniest song from his album or something. Are we going to watch like one of his full movies? Like, I don't know.
No, I think we're hearing about it. This is like the JTT idea. Somebody is coming in. They're going
to be. We have a JTT expert. A woman wrote in.
Great.
And said she wants to be our JTT expert, and she's on the case. She's
so maybe
trying to find out what he's up to.
This is post JTT. We're sort of doing a the show business career of Shaquille O'Neal, and we're talking. I would like to hear about his relationship. Did he date Cindy Crawford?
I don't think Shaq dated Cindy Crawford, but listen, number Shaq couldn't get. Let's say in like 1996.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Okay. So let's
can I suggest next week maybe we take a deep breath from all these ideas and we go through like the wheel with the wheel waiting room and we try and put a few things on or cut a few things off because we're at like 25 things in the waiting room. It's getting pretty packed.
Okay, that's fine. If you want to have like one or two things, I don't know where I got the Cindy Crawford.
Yeah, if there's a one that I think is going to go on the wheel, I'll put it on. But I think in general, we could maybe try
that. Might be fake news that Shaquille O'Neal dated Cindy Crawford. But
it doesn't sound familiar at all.
Let's see. Okay.
Molly really wants me to read this idea. She sent this in twice, so I'm going to read it to you. But I don't think this is making it on the wheel.
Yeah.
Molly says,
"Oh, hold on. No. That let's see.
What?
Cindy Crawford was rumored to be with Shaquille O'Neal.
Do you think we could get Shaq for the Shaq Attack podcast, and we could ask him the hard-hitting questions like, did you date Cindy Crawford?"
Yes. I guess that we could, that maybe through podcast one, maybe we can get Shaquille O'Neal to appear on.
I think it's worth it, you know, an email that they'll probably say no to.
Does Shaq even appear on his own podcast in terms of the deep dive into the Shaquille O'Neal life and times outside of basketball?
Mm-hmm. We don't have to tell him it's outside basketball. Molly says her favorite part of the Harry Potter podcast was when we were taking the Pottermore quiz and saying how we'd hate to have different types of pets, owls, frogs, etc. It gave her an idea for a podcast called A Pet Cast. There are a lot of YouTubers making videos where they show off their pets. They're referred to as pet tubers, I think. In the podcast, Rob and Akiva watch these videos and comment on all the pets and why are they each trash. And she sent an example link. She'd think it would be funny as an animal, and as an animal lover, she would enjoy hearing our takes as animal haters. We're not animal haters, Molly. What are you trying to get us? I didn't even see that. I wouldn't have read it.
So that basically she wants to do like your pets are trash, that we're going to.
Yes.
People love pets too much, Keith.
Too beloved. Rob is nervous that like Melrose Place is too beloved. Right. Now you're going after dogs.
We're not
going
to say talk about what we don't like about animals.
Mm-hmm.
So no thanks. Jabba the Hutt, maybe not pets.
Mm-hmm. Pineapple Boy 27. You gotta answer when Pineapple Boy 27 emails in, and he says, "Here's my RANAP idea. Rob and Akiva watch some 2019 movie trailers. Discuss levels of excitement, IMDb significances, star reviews, predictions, over under, box office bets, then come back for part two." So it's an automatic part two in December 2019 to see how their predictions turned out.
Yeah, this is fun. I was kind of doing this a couple of weeks ago. I was watching NFL games on Sunday, probably like 2 weeks ago. And there was like one movie commercial after another. And I was like, who wanted this? What is this one? Did you see the one about the cities that are on wheels?
No, I did not see this.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's Peter Jackson.
Is this a fake thing like Star Wars?
I don't know. I mean,
didn't Peter Jackson just come out with a movie that was like an insane flop? I think that was this year, though. That wasn't a 2019 movie.
Peter Jackson movie? It's not this one.
Yeah.
That's
it was like one of the biggest flops ever. Like, we didn't even hear about it. It just came and went, and it was very expensive. It had, like, no stars.
I think it's already gone. Was it the one with the cities on wheels?
It was called Mortal Engines.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's already gone from the box office.
Already gone? Already, like, that's toast. It.
I mean, it was a huge flop, I think.
Yeah, I was watching. There was a trailer for the Clint Eastwood movie, The Mule. Mm-hmm. Like, well,
it had a production budget of over $100 million. I haven't heard of one person in this movie.
Which movie?
Of Mortal Engines. It was just an insane flop. I didn't know it was about City on Wheels. I just knew it was a flop.
One city is on wheels. One city is floating in the water. One is like flying on like a hot air balloon.
It's made like $11 million. It's a $100 million budget movie. That's
insane. I don't
know
who wanted this.
I think it was a popular book, and I think some people think that that Peter Jackson is like box office gold.
I don't think so.
I don't even think it's bad. It seems like people just think it's boring. Like, it's not like historically bad movie.
Yeah.
What do you think? Is there anything there? If we watched a bunch of 2019 movie trailers,
I would watch movie trailers. I mean, I do think that there's like some franchise that potentially that be like, no, like you guys are.
Oh, I don't care. That's fine. If we're just knocking a trailer,
you don't understand anything. But
and then are we betting on how much they make at the box office?
I mean, I don't really have a good sense of, like, other than T-dubs, anybody really care about box office receipts?
No. So then what are we doing? What are we like? What is the premise then, other than watching movie trailers?
Who wants to see this? Why is this happening?
I know, but I feel like there's a lot of like movie trailer, probably like YouTube videos. Whereas we're an audio podcast. I'm not even sure what we're doing here.
I mean,
like, it's a funny idea.
It would be hard to do sort of like a 2019 movie preview, but I do think that that might be funny for us to watch shows. But I don't think we have a concept here. Okay. So if we're laboring this much to figure out what the podcast is, we don't have an idea.
All right. Let's get to a couple season 3 episode 7s and then we'll send everybody home.
Great.
Kirsten McGinnis says, see, Riverdale just had season 3 episode 7. She thinks it would be capital great episode for RANAP. Archie and Jughead are on the run. Veronica hosts an illegal casino night in her speakeasy. Who knew that she had a speakeasy? And Betty is being held in a covenant against her will. It sounds like this show has gone completely bananas.
Mm-hmm.
From, like, the Archie I know was like, they go to Pop's, you know, chocolate shop, and Jughead eats a lot of hamburgers, and Archie has to decide between Veronica and Betty, and Mr. Lodge, Veronica's dad, is mad at him. It sounds like this is like a goth nightmare, this show.
Mm-hmm.
So Kirsten, she wants to come on and she's pitching herself here. She wants to come on and talk talk with us about Riverdale. And she says gotten completely bananas. What do you think?
So
and we put Riverdale season 3 episode 7 in the fishbowl.
You were more of the Archie enthusiast.
Yes, growing up I was a big Archie fan. I'm not still watching this show.
But you liked the first season.
No, I watched the first couple episodes.
Yeah. And you liked it, though. I feel like you were high on it.
I liked it, but I also, like, I wanted it to be very basic. I wanted it to be, like, the first couple seasons to be not science fiction, like, no murders. But they went in a totally different direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it sounds crazy.
Okay. So, I mean, my rule on these are, like, is it ironic? Is it iconic?
I think it is ironic.
Mm-hmm. Are the listeners pumped up for we go to season 3 episode 7 and we pull up Riverdale?
I mean, the curse stands are pretty, yes, pretty pumped, probably.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get that angle. That's the appeal. Are the non-curse stands excited?
First of all, I don't think there are non-curse stands.
Fair point.
I guess there's people who don't know her, but I would assume everyone knows her as a curse stand. All right, so if you are not into Riverdale, then we can listen. Kirsten could go back to her drawing board. Assume she has a drawing
Look,
board.
Look, I would say then if people are saying, no, you guys are making a mistake, I feel
Yeah, we could reconsider.
I don't, we can't take it out of the bowl, but...
No, can't take it out of the bowl. We don't have that authority. No way.
I'd say that, you know, I think I still need to be talked into that. I feel like if we go to the fishbowl for season 3, episode 7, and Riverdale comes up, I don't think that that's going to be like, finally.
All right, we have some interesting ones. Josh says, Robin Steven never came through with season 3 of the Genius Know-It-Alls. What if you guys put some genius magic on RANAP?
What if we got
Dom and Colin and we watch season 3, episode 7 of the Genius?
I'm just jumping in. We're spoiling the Genius for people that haven't seen it. It's not hilarious, I wouldn't think. So
I don't think it's funny.
This is the right spot for that show.
Mm-hmm. John says, what about One Tree Hill? The cheerleaders at Tree Hill, he's giving the synopsis of season 3, episode 7. The cheerleaders at Tree Hill High, who knew that was what it was called, have decided to do a fancy boy draft. And the time has come to go on the first dates with the selected boys, features some typical teen drama tropes, and is a bottle episode. Great guest starring the great Tom Bosley. It's easily a top 10 episode of One Tree Hill.
Tom Bosley.
Yeah.
Okay, One Tree Hill, as I say, is this a current show? Final episode date, April 4th, 2012. So it's been off the air
for a while.
Do you have any experience with this show?
No, I've never seen it.
Is it beloved?
No.
Do we have a One Tree Hill expert? I mean, I feel like we have Dawson's
Creek.
I feel
like I'm more excited about Dawson's Creek than One Tree Hill.
Yeah, I mean, if Dawson's Creek came on and it popped, then it's like, okay, we're like the studio system of like, okay, if something is like, oh, that worked, like, okay, what else?
We copy it. Yeah,
what else can we do that's a rip off of the thing that worked?
Yeah, I agree. David has a couple interesting ideas. What about, he says, how is Survivor season 3, episode 7 not in the fishbowl yet? What about Big Brother? What about Amazing Race?
So season 3, episode 7 of Survivor, I believe that's the merge of Africa. So there's definitely...
By the way, you definitely should know that off the top of your head, but keep going. I mean,
Are you saying that...
You should. Like, you should because it's your job, but also I'm sure people who aren't Survivor fans, like, you didn't know that was coming, so it's probably, a pull for somebody who doesn't...
I mean, well, typically, Survivors. Episode 7, especially in the old seasons, is always the merge. So
sure, makes sense.
It's, somewhat iconic for... a Survivor fan. I think that's the episode where T-Bird is singing the Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow. And so it is sort of an iconic episode, which I also think might have originally aired on Thanksgiving night in 2001.
Wait, they used to air? They used to not skip Thanksgiving?
Well, this was post 9/11, so the Survivor Africa
schedule
sort of has a crazy schedule where it was supposed to air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like people don't talk about
mid
the
to late
yeah.
September, and then got pushed back to October because of 9/11. So the whole schedule mm-hmm. was wonky.
Well, but the next week is the was the recap, which was always like the really boring episode.
Oh, they did a recap after?
But that's November 29th, so that has to be Thanksgiving, right? Thanksgiving could be the 29th, can it? Or
no, well,
Thanksgiving can't,
Thanksgiving I'm not
can't
at,
be before
the
28th.
I'm remembering that it was Thanksgiving night, and
your family's yelling
at
you, Robbie, come to the table, eat your turkey. And you're like, sorry, T-Boot's singing.
That's me?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it's those Sister Ninos. I don't know.
Survivor's on at 8 o'clock at night. We're not still, eating dinner.
Yeah, I guess Thanksgiving. You really can have shows on that night. Nobody in the country is
this
still eating
at 8 o'clock.
Before
there was also like a third NFL game on Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
night.
That's a good point. Now that's sort of monopolized.
Program
that's
that. Game. Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm okay with it. I don't know if it's going to be hilarious to break down a season.
Do we have a good guest for that?
T-Bird.
Would T-Bird come on? I mean, if we're getting T-Bird, that's
Steve,
an obvious pick.
Steve, come on. Would
okay,
T-Bird
so we're putting it in the fishbowl then. If we have like the star of the episode willing to come on, this seems like a no-brainer.
Season 3, episode 7 recap of T-Bird of that episode of Survivor with T-Bird as the guest.
With T-Bird as a guest. Yeah, I think that's a lock. I think it's a good idea. What about Big Brother? Or,
Season 3, episode 7 of Big Brother is going to be, I don't think that that's going to be particularly interesting to just watch a random Big Brother episode.
Right. And Amazing Race, the same thing. I've never seen Amazing Race.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Don't ask me about Season 3, episode 7 of The Amazing Race.
I will not.
Okay.
Okay, fine. So I think we are good. Let's see if there's one more Season 3, Episode 7, somebody trying to... Okay, fine. Nelson from Denver.
I recently did watch Season 3 of Big Brother. So if anybody is clamoring
is that a clue for
to hear
for
me
something?
Talking about Season 3, Episode 7 of Big Brother, hang in there.
Okay, I will start hanging. I've never seen that season. Nelson from Denver says, we love Nelson from Denver, if you remember.
Yes.
He is basically our
flew
our
out
best
for the live show. And then didn't
flew
stay
out for the
live
Seinfeld finale. That is correct. Well, he was stayed. He just didn't go because he doesn't want to survive.
In my head, I thought he got on a plane and actually it wasn't.
No,
after
he saw how bad our show was, he probably scheduled it. No, I'm just kidding. He was
moved up his
The Drew Carey Show. Drew wins the Batmobile in a contest at a fast food restaurant. Nikki and the gang are amazed that Drew was offered $200,000 in lieu of the car, but turned it down. Drew's outlandish prize starts to cause problems within his relationship with Nikki when she refuses to let him drive the Batmobile when they meet her parents for a dinner date. What do you think about the Drew Carey Show being added to the wheel?
Did you watch the Drew Carey Show?
I've seen a couple episodes, but I didn't watch it like all the way through.
I mean, I was not a big fan. I was an anti-Drew Carey Show. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really pop for me.
Okay. All right.
Not dying to do it.
So you're saying, Nelson, like, you came out, you flew to our show, but now we're knocking two of your ideas in one episode. Sorry,
what was
Nelson.
Nelson's other idea?
He was the eBay guy also.
Oh.
He was repitching that idea.
Is Nelson, like, a huge Drew Carey Show stan?
Yeah, Nelson, let us know. If you're, like, the world's biggest Drew Carey fan, then maybe you could be our guest. Lord knows we owe Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, let us know. And if not, keep pitching, because you're getting close, Nelson. You're getting close to a spot on the wheel.
Okay.
All right, so we added today, if you're scoring at home, Next Room Raiders, Parental Control, Date My Mom. The MTV shows are trash.
Yeah.
And we also added Survivor to the fishbowl. That's it. Two things.
Okay. There you go. Survivor with T-Bird.
With T-Bird. That's correct.
Okay. All right. So, Keeve, let's talk about what's on the wheel before the spin. Okay. CSI New York, one of the few that has been there from the beginning and maybe the only one other than season 3, episode 7.
It is, yes.
We have season 3, episode 7, which is now going to be up to 4 spots
Correct.
On the wheel.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So moving on to 4 spots. We have Coin Flip, which is Rob or Akiva's choice. We have The Oregon Trail, The Rise and Fall of JTT, Judging Judy, The Price is Right, another Drew Carey project. which is then Conspirapod.
Well, we never committed to watching a Drew Carey episode of The Price is Right. In theory, we could watch a Barker episode.
Yeah, we're not watching. I mean, are we watching season 3, episode 7 of The Price is Right?
No. We're going to watch whatever we can find. I don't know how easy.
Yeah, we were playing along with people at home.
Yes.
And then Conspirapod is still out there.
Yes.
TV show bracket. And I was disappointed to see that. So Dalton Ross has already done this on the EW Morning Live show. Does that take the wind out of our sails?
I don't think so. No, I don't want to offend Dalton Ross, but ours is going to be better.
Okay. There also was a fan vote. This is me and you voting.
Yeah. People who are fans of entertainment. Come on.
Okay.
We know more.
They do a great job, Keith.
They do. I'm teasing. But Chester has Chester already has put up like 12 spreadsheets for this stuff. He's like, every time a listener emails in their chart, he's updating it. He's really working hard on this.
And newly added MTV shows are trash. That's where we're at right now, heading into the wheel spin. We took the holiday movie cast off the wheel. It exploded like both of the Death Stars, Death Star 1 and 2. Okay.
Is there going to be a Death Star 3?
Well, not to spoil the new movies, but they have basically, I don't think it's in space, but
not in space.
Yeah, bad guys in the Star Wars universe are always going to work on giant things that can blow up planets. And that's sort of like what they go back to.
Now, can I remind our listeners, this is our second to last episode of 2018, and you still have your veto, which does, I don't think, carries over to 2019.
No,
right?
It
I
does
think
not.
You need to use
so
it.
I'm sort of like Todd Bowles at the end of the half in. He ran out of time. Keev, we didn't talk about episode number 5, whether that should go back onto the wheel.
What was it? I don't remember.
Okay.
I actually think I have a guess. Was it May 22nd, 1998?
I believe that it was. I can confirm that if I get OR. Yes, all about May 22nd, 1998.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I thought that was a really good one, but I also think, is that something that needs to come up like every 10 or 20 episodes? Like, I think at some point we will definitely do something like that again, but does it need to be right now?
Okay, I liked it. I thought it was fun.
I do think it was fun. My one fear is like, what if it's like May 21st, 1998, and then we're just like, oh, it's kind of the same stuff.
So we should take 1998 out of the mix.
All right, for now. You want to put it back on the wheel?
Okay. What was it originally called? April 14th, 1994?
I think it's April 13th. I think it was 4/13/94.
Okay. Let's put it back on the wheel.
Oh, wow.
And then we could veto it if it comes up like this week.
You could veto it.
You would say veto it?
I know. I'm saying you could. I don't have a veto. Okay. So you're saying we could veto. I don't have that authority.
Let's add, because I really did have fun with that one. We played the
That was a good episode. Yeah, of course you had fun. I had to do all the work. You just you listened to what happened. This was like this week, but the opposite.
1994.
You just showed up.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I liked it.
By the way, that's good advice for people, right? Like an episode where Akiva has to do the work or there's no work to be done, Rob is more likely to say yes than like...
Yeah, and also ones where somebody else is coming in with their pitch of, hey, I'll do all the work. Like if Shut Up Tim's pitch was, I want to talk about Shaquille O'Neal, I'll do all the work. You guys show up and I will take you through everything that Shaquille O'Neal has ever done outside of basketball. Like, okay.
Oh, this would be his dream, Shut Up Tim, because he's already given us a couple ideas that we've done. Mm-hmm. But for him to actually be on the show, that's beyond his wildest dreams.
Yeah. All right. I mean, the idea of, hey, we'll all watch a show and then I'll come on to talk about it with you guys is good. But that still involves us watching a show where somebody comes in like, hey, I have my I'll do all of the legwork here. And then you guys can just, make comments. That's exciting.
Okay. All right. So let's spin this wheel.
All right. Here we go.
That wheel.
All right. Here we go. Let's launch the wheel. And then.
We got 11 things on the wheel. All right. But then one thing has 4 spots.
All right. Launching the wheel. And now here we go to spin the wheel. Here we go. Episode number 16. What will it be? Not Taking a Break for the Holidays on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. And, okay, this is one that I'm excited for, and it is not season 3, episode 7. We've got Judging Judy.
All right, that's good.
So, we're
watching Judge Judy next week.
Just to reset.
What are we doing?
Okay. at one point, somebody said that, okay, they had the episode we were going to watch.
I think Christine and listener Diane are like Judging Judy super fans, and they're going to give us an episode to watch.
They're giving us an episode. I know that at one point there was talk of an episode with Gandia Johnson from Survivor Thailand appearing on Judge
Judy. Yeah, I don't think we need to specifically do that one.
Yeah, all right. So if Christine and Diane have a specific Judge Judy episode for us, or two episodes for us, looking forward to that. We will break down the case. We will give you our takes on the ruling.
Our verdict, which will be better than Judge Judy.
Yes, and we'll talk about all of that. All right, Keev, what else?
Is she really a judge at this point? Because she's just a TV judge at this point, right? Does she still have the, like, if is it once a judge, always a judge? Like, she's not still, like, on the bench
you
somewhere.
You have to take, like, continuing education.
That's what I was thinking. Is there continuing
judge
ed for
license
judges?
Up? I mean, I guess we can find that information out for next week.
Yeah, we could find that out.
I mean, we could do a little bit of...
You know what's crazy with continuing ed? Like, my grandfather still works. He's turning 90 in March. He still has to do continuing ed. Because, like, he's a CPA, and they always, like, change the rules.
Yeah, so you're saying, like, is being a judge like having a driver's license, where you have to go and...
Or is it, like, being, like, the president? Like, even if you got impeached after one day, or, like, a senator or whatever, you're still, like, the president or the senator.
So you're saying in terms of keeping the title, where...
Yeah,
you
get the you keep the title for life, if you stop being that
that's
thing.
That's, like, governor also.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's also weird, like,
Chris
when they
Christie
do the
is, still, you know, referred to as governor, even though he's not technically the governor.
True. It's also weird when they do like they go to your highest house. I always thought it was weird when Hillary Clinton was called Secretary Clinton, when, like, senator sounds better, I think.
Mm.
You know,
yeah, it's like the poker
like, yes,
hands.
Secretary of State is like a more, you know, prestigious position than just one of the 100 senators, but still. Mm-hmm. Like Secretary Clinton, I don't know. I always thought senator sounded better. Anyway.
Okay.
All right, so we got next week. We're gonna clean out the wheel waiting room. Hopefully, five spots for season 3, episode 7. Is there anything else? Do we have any iTunes?
Yeah,
reviews,
I got some
Rob?
iTunes reviews. This is one from AccidentRep.com. is posting a review. It says fun long form listening. Found these guys from Seinfeld Postcard. That might be autocorrect from podcast. They have great banter and go on hilarious tangents. Give it a shot. You won't be disappointed. Okay.
All right, I agree.
This is one from Sarah Cassara 29 says, when Rob asks somewhere in the second hour of each show who could possibly still be listening, the answer is this girl. Can't get enough of these two and their randomness of topics.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Cassara.
Thank you. Is anybody still listening? Is this thing on?
Yeah, I think people are listening for sure. Some people may have skipped over Star Wars if they're not interested.
Yeah.
Think here people are listening.
Boy, what a reveal this would be if someday down the road, if I forget what movie that is with Leonardo DiCaprio, where pullback, this podcast room was an insane asylum the whole time, you're imaginary, and
yes, that is
nobody
possible.
Was listening. That'd be a good twist
you
ending.
You might be finding out
in like the Black Mirror episode of my life.
I would say it's 50-50. I don't know, like, how I, because I don't know that I'm like one of these fake people, but it is, you know, it is possible. Like, it's possible that it was just you all along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, are you like married and it's like you go upstairs to this pretend job and you're like pretend paying the bills with it or something? Or you like, you're just literally in an insane asylum and it's just you and they're like, oh, look, Robbie's doing another podcast. And do you think they're impressed with your work ethic? Like the people in the insane asylum, like, wow, he does like four podcasts a day. Nobody does more than one. That's nuts.
Yeah, I think that in the final pullback where, was it Shutter Island, I think, the spoiler alert, the film. So I think I never was married, don't have kids. I am still, went from.
Are you in an insane asylum or are you in your mom's basement?
Still
possibly?
In my parents' basement. And no, I think that I've been moved from the basement to a facility and
I got
continue on the podcast.
Oh, maybe this is Frail Mary's fan fiction, which she did say
kind
she has worked
dark,
on.
Kind of dark fan fiction.
Well, listen, Frail Mary could get dark. We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know what she's got in store for us.
I do think of this when I am able to, tweet things out and jinx sporting events. I do think that is when I have like a lot of control over the universe.
Okay.
Then
interesting.
Keev, finally, Goat Girl says, I never fail to laugh out loud during the podcast. Akiva talks like I think. A crazy, weird stream of consciousness where one thought leads into another and another and another. Rob and Akiva are perfect podcast partners. You will always be entertained.
Gotta love the Goat Girl.
Thank you, Goat Girl MH. If you want to leave us a review, go to robhasawebsite.com/RAANAP. Keeve, oh boy, I did not think this was going to be that long of an episode.
Oh, how long is it? Oh, shoot. I didn't know it was long.
We're closing in on, we passed the 2 hour
mark. Last week was our shortest one.
8 parsecs.
And people liked it. Yeah. Maybe that was the key. Maybe we should keep them under 2 hours.
I think so. We did not hit the mark this time around. I think probably, it's close for the, runtime of the longest Star Wars movie, I think, is probably a little bit shy of this podcast.
Well, that's actually the one thing that's maybe keeping me from watching it is, like, they are kind of long, right? The three movies are over 7 hours combined, I would assume.
Yeah, let me see. Star Wars movie run times. Do we have that? Okay. Star Wars binge clock, film clock. Let's see. Time a movie marathon with film clock. This thing tells you the run times of these movies. Okay, here we go. So Star Wars Episode One: Phantom Menace. 133 minutes. I think we got that beat. Okay. 142 minutes for Attack of the Clones. That's what,
so 222. I don't think we beat
we're,
that.
We're we right there. I think we're like, we're very, okay. we're in the ballpark there. Revenge of the Sith, 140 minutes. So,
all right.
Last Jedi, 150 minutes. I think we might be just under.
That's too long, The Last Jedi.
Yeah, it was.
That's probably why people didn't like it.
Might be.
Maybe. 2.5 hours.
That was not
long.
The reason why people didn't like it.
Okay. Was it because it was Jar Jar? It was too much Jar Jar?
Jar Jar could have helped, I think.
Okay, fine.
A New Hope, only 121 minutes. So we're way over that.
All righty.
What are you going to do? Okay. All right. Keeve, great job. Follow Akiva on Twitter. He is at Keeve26. What's going on in the 32 Fans podcast?
What did we do this week? We ranked our top 10 TV shows of the year, Chester and I, and then we're, making playoff predictions and stuff like that. It's really crunch time of football, the saddest time of year, because you realize that there's only 2 more weeks left of a complete 16-game slate, and then it's just a couple playoff games.
Are the Vikings going to make the playoffs or no?
I think they will, yeah. They'll probably make the playoffs. There's only 43 football games that count left. 44 if you're a big Pro Bowl guy, which I know you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it. And then we're done. We're done until September. It's really depressing.
Yeah. I like that Jet game last weekend where the Jets lost, but Sam Darnold played well. I'd like
that's
to see
what you
more
want.
Of that.
You want your young player to do well. Yes, it was perfect. Hopefully that'll happen. He'll throw 400 yards, 4 touchdowns this week, but the Packers will just,
just
do enough to win.
That's right. All right. Have a good one, everybody. Happy holidays. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Special thanks to True Car for sponsoring this episode of Rob Has Podcast. Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper, that when you nervously picked up your first date, the luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you saved when you rode your bike all summer. While you can't put a price tag on your stories, now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in. Just go to True Car, enter your license plate number, and watch how your car's details pop up. Then just answer a few questions. Navigation or moon roof, that'll bump up your car's value. High mileage, you already knew it was going to cost you, but now you can find out how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, and you can take that to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True cash offer not available in all areas.